The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
PFW in Progress.
We've been coming to the same party for 12 years now, and in no way is that depressing.
With Fred Kirsch.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal. People know me. I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books, and my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
Paul Perillo.
I'm all about having fun. You know, get a couple of cocktails in me, start a fire in someone's kitchen, maybe go to SeaWorld, take my pants off. Anyway, I become kind of famous for my signature catchphrase.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
And Andy. And Andy?
The only way to bag a classy lady is to give her two tickets to the gun show and see if she likes the goods.
Just doing my workout. It's a deep burn. So deep.
Andy Hart.
I'm the stylish one of the group. I know what you're asking yourself, and the answer is yes. I have a nickname for my penis. It's called the Octagon, but I also nickname my testes. My left one is
Quinn.
And my right one,
Mendenhall.
You ladies play your cards right, you just might get to meet the whole gang.
Eric Scalavino.
Veronica and I are trying this new fad called, jogging. I believe it's jogging or yogging. It might be a soft J.
For now, anyway.
You are pathetic. This has to be the feeblest pickup attempt that I have ever encountered. You have a massive erection.
Really? Yes, I do. I'm sorry. It's the police.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight.
Sky rockets in flight.
Boo!
Afternoon delight. Afternoon delight.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. The gang is all here. It is Tuesday here at Gillette Stadium in beautiful Foxborough, Massachusetts. what are you laughing about?
Beautiful Foxborough, Massachusetts.
It's 20 degrees below normal average temperatures.
I know. It's still
I don't
cold
care if it's 80. I mean,
it's not only sure, it's still cold, beautiful. It's still like a foot of snow on the ground, which is just depressing.
It really is.
You know, we got to get rid of that snow. We need some warm days. But anyway, it's... Is it heating up here in terms of football? No, not really.
No, I mean, heating up, but there's some
news from yesterday that the Patriots decided not.
Is doing nothing heating up?
Well, it's a decision that they made, and they made a decision not to apply the tag to anyone, including Aqib Talib. And we're going to talk about that. What does that mean going forward? Does that increase the chance that they're not going to have Aqib Talib this year? We'll talk all about that.
Yes.
You say yes, Andy's
well, I think
here.
That's a fact.
Eric's here, Paul's here, Fred's here, Kevin's in the booth. Chris Ferreira's training because when Eric goes on when Kevin goes on vacation, Chris Ferreira's going to be the producer.
I can't wait for that day. When's the first one of those? I look forward to tearing him a new one.
Week from today.
Oh, I had a very important question for you, Fred.
Yeah.
Have you seen Michael Sam's?
No. Have I seen Michael Sam's possessive?
Sam's.
No, I haven't.
That's out there?
Why, apparently that's really? Quite a story. I don't know if you can actually get the unblurred version, but there's
Andy,
a selfie.
Andy has tried.
No, I haven't. I haven't even seen it.
No surprise, he's the only one that knows about
it. On Dennis and Callahan, they were talking right. about it because the agent actually came out and claimed it's not him. It's some selfie
it's
from...
not his. I've seen it.
From a... it's a selfie from a like a
cell phone.
Gay website that like a dating slash the Grindr or something website. And I guess there's another photo that he has on Instagram that could be it, and there's yellow wristbands that he wears and blah, blah, blah.
You know, if it's him, then he deserves to get...
What? He deserves to get what? Who cares?
It's a dumb thing to do.
Yes, but it has nothing to do with gayness.
Every other player who has had that happen to gets negative
criticized.
Publicity.
Okay, but nothing to do with gayness.
Oh, no.
Okay.
No, it's just dumb.
Right.
It's just dumb.
But dumb like a lot of people have been dumb.
Yes.
Like Brandon Spikes was dumb.
Right.
Like Brett Favre was dumb. All, you know, we don't need to rehash the
Michael
list of schlongs you've seen.
Politician was dumb. You know, it's
right.
just, it shows a lack of maturity
named,
and judgment.
But dumb. Right.
I think.
But
while it zippers and buttons
unless
slow
I'm,
you
like,
down,
so
with open
times,
top jeans,
like, oh,
it's always out and camera ready.
Everybody does that now, you know. Unless I'm like just so not with it. But to me, it shows a lack of maturity and judgment.
And even more so to me, to put it on a site, it's one thing to really have a stupid lapse in judgment and send like a personal. You think this is what me and this girl are doing, and I send it.
Right.
And another thing to post it on a website for the world to see, like Spikes did, and like Sam may or may not have done.
Unless it's part of a an interview, and you need the job.
What?
Well, if you were going for like a porn movie, and they they said it's part of your resume.
What other interview would you do other than porn?
It's one of those things like pornography. You know it when you see it or hear it.
Right, Jake Steele.
He says it, though, like, unless it's part of an interview.
Yeah.
Like, that there's a million different interviews you could... No, there's one. Porn.
Well, if you go for a part of the movie, movie depended on part of you.
But even those are fake, usually. Like, Marky Mark was fake in
somebody stood in for him.
No, it was rubber.
No, it's a prosthetic.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
you disappointed.
Kind of.
There's no delay of game. We didn't let the team go because we were stretching our balls.
All right. Great.
Is it fake in the new one? What's his name? In Wolf of Wall Street? Apparently he shows his.
Jonah
oh, really?
Hill.
Well, I assume that's what Ellen was saying.
Ellen had a great line. Did you hear that?
He showed me something I haven't seen in years.
Right. Yeah.
So I assumed his penis is
right.
Out.
Yeah.
But I'm assuming that's fake, too.
You've seen Wolf of Wall Street,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
You liked it?
Excellent. Yeah.
So and you saw
it was like softcore porn.
I don't know if it was his.
But you saw it?
Yes.
He saw his characters.
Was it big?
It wasn't small. It was, I don't know. compared to the other.
Well, you've seen a number of them.
You have.
Between bumping butts and the internet.
By the way, so have you. So just,
you want to make $5 the hard way?
Relax.
Not as many as you, I don't think.
Relax over there, Mr. Homophobe.
I don't Google them like you do.
All right. Webradio at patriots.com.
Oh, great. I meant pianists.
Great way to start off the show. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the ace ticket hotline.
He actually paused to compare sizes in his head.
855-PATS-500.
Well, you asked.
The,
I know, but
if I had asked you, I think you would, I don't know. You would have just flipped it.
Andy has never seen any of them, aside from himself. he's never seen a penis before in his life.
Not as many as you have.
You are so hung up, man.
So to speak.
He was going to say I was hung.
Yeah.
He had,
Fred, when have you seen me?
Wait, what happened in your interview?
Now I'm uncomfortable.
Right. You have so many hang-ups.
I have no hang-ups.
Oh, yes,
I'm hang-up free.
Yeah. One of your problems is that you believe you don't have any hang-ups. That's one of your problems.
So that's a hang-up?
Yes.
Yes.
You've hung up on hang-ups.
One of your problems is you believe you don't have any hang-ups.
All right, so
let's talk Tlaib.
Let's talk Tlaib. No tag for Tlaib. Does it concern you?
Yes.
Why?
Well, you mentioned, does this increase the chance of him not being here? Yes, by nature.
Right.
Because you don't have that limitation. March 11th at midnight or 3 o'clock, I guess it is now, in the afternoon, he can sign with somebody.
Do you think that it's a good sign, though, that, you know what, we're close, we're going to get this done,
no.
We don't need to do that?
I don't read anything into anything.
Yeah, it's hard to do that.
Because there was a leap of faith with Wes Welker that was the first step towards him leaving.
I know, but
so that leap of faith was a leap out of time.
I'm asking you to read into this. What do you think?
I'm not reading anything. I don't know anything.
Okay.
It's hard because in the past we've seen instances where they've tagged a guy and 2 weeks later, Vince Wilfork, long-term deal.
Right.
We've seen instances where they've tagged a guy, Logan Mankins, it stretched out for months, it got ugly.
Right.
And then he signed the deal.
And we've seen an instance when they tagged a guy, he had the audacity to sign it.
Right.
And that
and
was like the first step towards hate and get out of town and we'll blow $30 million on Amendola.
I agree. I don't know.
Is this in any way at all connected with the release of Stephen Gregory on Friday?
No.
I don't think so.
No?
I don't.
I know what you're getting at, that they're freeing up some cap space, but I don't think it would have that much of an impact.
Well, you need less cap space. There is no way they're going to sign him to a long-term deal that has a cap number bigger than the franchise tag.
Right.
You could have sold me on they cut Gregory, they needed the money to tag Tlaib, but this, if they sign him, the first year cap number is going to be less than the
tag. I understand that, but just the fact that we're going to get a deal, we know the range in which it's going to be. Let's get rid of Gregory. Let's get that space ready.
Unrelated.
Okay.
I think that was, if anything, that was one of those Bill Belichick, just get, he's not part of our future. Let's just get him out there. Maybe he can sign us to do whatever.
Yeah, sort of a respect to the player.
Yeah. I'm sure they love Steve Gregory as a guy, as a worker, as everything. They just don't love him as their starting safety
for that much money.
3 point whatever million next to Devin McCourty.
And they might not like him as their starting safety, period.
Right.
But why, unless it's a money thing, you say the reason to do that now with Gregory is just out of respect?
Yeah, let him get out there. He can now sign before free agency if he wants. He can do whatever he wants.
But that tells you, though, that, like you said, they know he's not going to be part of the roster.
Right.
So who do they know is going to be part
of
the roster that's going to be better than him?
They just know he isn't.
But they're confident that they can find somebody better than him.
At better value. They can play Daron Harmon for $500,000 and say,
well,
he's not as heady, he's not as experienced, but it's not that much a drop-off.
I know, but
I'm sure they thought Adrian Wilson was a signing they made last year that was going to be better than what they had, but he wasn't.
Right.
And maybe they still think that. I think that'd be crazy, but they might still think that.
Well, that's what I'm asking you guys.
I expect Adrian Wilson to be cut any day.
If they don't cut him, I'm going to be really upset.
I expect him to go any day. I expect Sopawaga to go any day now. There's a handful of guys that
I agree with.
I would expect. No, I know. I'm not saying that you were suggesting that Adrian Wilson is part of the future, but I'm kind of in the middle of Andy here on the Tlaib thing. I think it's inarguable to say that had they tagged him, his chances of returning would be greater. I think that's...
Right.
I mean, that's obvious.
So now you have all your options available.
Right. I don't think that the chances of re-signing him are to a long-term deal are any less that they haven't tagged him. I think there's still a chance that, I personally don't think he's going to be back. I think that the Grimes contract yesterday worried me a little bit. I think that Tlaib probably feels he's a better player than Brent Grimes. He's 2.5 years younger than Brent Grimes. He probably is looking for something around, he was probably looking for something around what Grimes got yesterday, which reportedly was 4 for 32 with about half of that guaranteed. Now, those are reports. That doesn't mean that everything is lock, stock, and barrel accurate. We've seen, Andy and I have torn apart these quote unquote guaranteed portions of contracts where some writers believe that something is guaranteed that's not. But if that's what you're looking at, my guess is that Tlaib should be looking for more than that. And I don't think he's going to get that from the Patriots. Do you?
Well, we were thinking that $8 million a year was about what he should get. Right.
Right. And now I think a guy who was not his equal got that.
Got that.
Now, I think Brent Grimes is a good, solid player. For some reason, I pointed to the TV because he was just on TV a little while ago. I think he's a good player. I like Brent Grimes. I would have taken the swap if it had to come to that, if we lost Tlaib. And we were looking for someone, I would have been more than interested in Brent Grimes. But the fact is he's 30 already. He in 2012 missed almost the whole year with a torn Achilles. I think he played one game. The year before that, he missed some time with injuries. So he's not, I wouldn't say he is as injury prone as Tlaib has been. Certainly doesn't appear to have a chronic problem that Tlaib has. But chronic.
Yeah, I know.
Well, you know, we had that long discussion before, and I think Tlaib had that issue with
previous W in progress.
I feel like Tlaib probably is thinking that he's going to get more than that, or probably looking to get more than that.
Cash that check, baby.
But I don't eliminate the possibility. To me, it didn't make any sense. Tom Brady. It didn't make any sense to tag him because that's a lot. I think that's a lot more money, and I think you weaken your stance. You know, what the Patriots have tried to do is roll that into their long-term deals when they franchise guys. That's what they did with Welker. And I think Tlaib is probably going to look at a almost $12 million cap number. It's like 11.8 and change. That's the jumping off. He's not going to go back on that. He's not going to go backward from that. So, to me, I don't think it made a lot of sense to tag him.
You know, regardless of what you think of Gregory, he was – you know, a fixture in the secondary. If he's gone, which he is, and Tlaib's gone, you're talking yet another upheaval in the Patriots secondary.
Mm-hmm. You suck. You know? Go back to giving up 20-yard plays at the way Belichick was talking about it, just embarrassing, ridiculous, crazy. Remember that? I mean, that was 2 years
Unless
ago.
Unless they have some plan in place where we know how we're going to improve the secondary.
Do you have confidence in that plan? If that plan does not involve, if Tlaib leaves and that plan isn't Darrelle Revis, I don't buy the plan.
Okay.
I mean, to just sit there and say, unless they have a plan, I know they have a plan.
Not real, not necessarily.
Does it work?
They might have certain options, but I don't know if all going to.
No, but like Bill says, we're going to field a team. Their plan is to replace Tlaib.
Everybody has
with
a plan until they get punched in the mouth.
Right.
Every secondary has a plan until they give up an 80-yard touchdown on
if
the opening
Tlaib
day.
If Tlaib signs
against
elsewhere, their plan is to sign Demaryius somebody Thomas else to replace him. Is he as good?
No.
I don't know. How do you know?
Who?
I don't know. We don't know who the he is.
Well, I don't think there's a he out there that's as good as Tlaib.
Unless it's Darrell Reeves.
That's
a trade. He said sign somebody that's better
of
than
of the available corners, he's the second best guy in the league, right? You're saying?
No, he's the best.
Well, of the yeah,
of the available the ones, available. He's the best.
I heard that Reeves could be crowbarred out of there.
Well, anybody
true
can be crowbarred out of anywhere.
He's not available right now.
If you tell me Patrick Peterson comes here, he's better.
But he's
on Patrick Peterson's on a contract. Altron Werner, you wouldn't.
I haven't seen enough of him. I think he's smaller. He's definitely more durable, and he's younger. So you have those two bonuses. I'm not sure he's as good. I am not of the belief necessarily that he's as good.
See, I think people are looking at a small sample of Tlaib and thinking that's what he is. And I'm a little concerned about that.
Okay.
I'm a little concerned about that.
So you think maybe he's not as good as we're making him out to be?
Listen, I don't think anybody's overrating what he did in the first 6 weeks last year. I think he was great.
Mm-hmm.
He was great.
Unless you think those were all against teams that can't pass.
He wasn't that guy the year before. They weren't. No,
Paula said that.
No. Here's the thing that I've said is
I like to nitpick things he says, and I missed that part.
No, I didn't say that. What I said
he thinks Brady stinks and wants to run him out of town.
The Patriots defense as a whole played very well in the first 3 weeks of the season. They didn't play as well the next 3 weeks. Tlaib played great all six of those weeks.
I'm just looking at matchups.
And that to me is the line of demarcation. It was Buffalo, Jets, Tampa. Then all of a sudden it was Atlanta, Cincinnati, and New Orleans. And the defense as a whole did not play very well against Atlanta and New Orleans.
Right.
Against Cincinnati, they played fine. But there was a definite difference to me in the performance of the overall defense after the third game when you had played your last of your quarterbacks who were no longer in the league, Josh Freeman. Things changed when you let up 400 the next week. Passing against Atlanta.
Hey, Geno Smith's still in the league.
You know what I mean. He played two rookies and a guy who's not in the league anymore
in the
first 3 weeks.
Is he not under contract?
I'm sure he will be in the league, but he signed a one-year deal, so he's going to be a free agent, right?
I don't know.
He signed a lucrative one-year deal with Minnesota, which is, talk about blowtorching the money out back.
Well, that's what they do.
So, all right. So
I also have an issue. Even though we started the rumor of Darrell Reeves to New England that we were going to trade for him, and now everybody else has picked up and wants him. And A, it's not happening unless Reeves takes a pay cut negotiation. It's how every guy they've ever traded for has taken a shave off the old pay.
Reeves just doesn't strike me as that
he
guy.
He never has been.
No.
He's the guy who renegotiates, and then a year later says, whoa, I know what I said last year, but I need more.
He's always complaining that he's underpaid.
And then the other issue is,
ridiculous,
how much better are you? He's better than Aqib Tlaib. But if I trade a first-round pick and pay him $12 million or whatever, how much better am I than I would have been if I signed Tlaib for $12 million and had a first-round pick? I don't know how much better you are. I don't know how much you've improved. Okay, I have a number one corner. I have a number one corner who's better.
If they use the number one pick.
But is my team better?
If they use the number one pick.
Well, even if they don't. If they trade it and trade it for two twos.
It's still worth something that you don't have.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm better at that one position, but am I better enough so that my team is better? I don't know.
It's
tough to answer because he is a year removed from the ACL, so he should be better. You're going to use him in man coverage like you used Tlaib, I'm guessing.
No, you don't want to just play him in zone?
No.
Okay.
But are you better enough so that your team is better, that is a change that makes you a better team in January? Well, he'll play in January, so yeah, you're probably a little better. But that was my question, the little flaw in the rumor that we started, I think.
Did we start the Reeves rumor?
Remember, it was 2 months ago we were trading 3 ones for Jackson and Reeves.
We did. We started that rumor.
But he's not going to take a pay cut, and I don't know if you're better giving up your one to get him to pay him $10, $12 million. So it ain't happening.
I would do it.
You would trade a one for Darrell Reeves?
Yeah.
At $16 million or at a pay cut?
He's not taking a pay cut, though.
If I can get those one-year kind of deals that he has, I'd do it.
So you'd acquire the contract?
Yeah.
Because that's his contract.
Yeah.
It's one-year, $16 million deals that roll over.
Boy.
You would do that?
Yeah.
So really?
Best cornerback in the game.
So you would just cut him after the first year, then?
Because
you're not paying him $16 million every
year.
Well,
I'd see. I you know, try to do something.
If conditions on the ground were to change, you would.
I think Andy's right. You have to be prepared if you make a deal for Revis that he is not going to bend on that contract.
Yeah.
And even worse, if you want, say you do your thing, you acquire him, pay him $16 million, and it works. He's good. Well, then he certainly isn't taking a pay cut the next year. If he sucks, yeah, he might be willing to take a pay cut, but then the whole thing sucked because you acquired a sucky corner who was good 5 years ago.
That's not Patriot-like thinking.
That makes no sense. There's no way that that works
Patriots
out for you.
Patriots like to stay in the position of power.
Best and case
to me,
scenario
the power would be with the player.
Best case scenario for you is he's elite. He's Darrell Revis. He's Revis Island, and you're paying him $32 million over 2 years.
And then he says, "Yeah,
is
I'll need to go."
Is that a bad thing?
Yes, that's a lot of money.
And then he'll say, "Yeah, I'll renegotiate."
Is he worth it?
Is he?
I'm asking you.
I don't believe so.
Is the best cornerback in the game worth $16 million a
year? If I didn't have Aqib Talib, I might argue yes. But I had Aqib Talib that I could have signed for, definitively could have signed for 1 year and $11.5 million. You know, assuming he didn't do the whole I'm going to hold out thing. But, you know, on paper, I could have kept him.
So you don't think Revis is $4 million, $5 million better than
and a first-round pick.
Yeah, and a first-round pick at 29.
Now we're just sniffing at those?
Now it's first-round pick. I mean, you see that?
Yes.
With such derision.
Now it's almost a second-round pick. It used to be we traded almost a first-round pick.
No, 33, the year we traded for 33, was like a first-round pick, but 29 is now a second.
Now a second.
You are unbelievable. The way you just maneuver things. Very well done. When I do a deeper dive into your psyche, that's impressive.
Number one.
So I just a thought, just food for thought.
Well, that's what the show is
about. That's what the show is all about. But I still think you're better off retaining Talib because he's maybe the best out there and you don't have to give up any picks or anything. The other side of that is all these people that maybe we should go out and get Jimmy Graham. I mean, we could give up the 2 first-round picks.
I cannot believe how many tweets I got asking me if I would be willing to do that.
What are you talking about? Why would you ever? First of all, I would never even consider that unless it was a quarterback. If I need a franchise quarterback and somehow a franchise quarterback is available, okay, I'll consider it.
Right. 2 first-round
but
picks.
But Jimmy Graham? Why? So Talib can take him out when he plays you again?
Yeah, like 3 years from now. Let's just say from 3 years from now, for whatever reason, the Colts couldn't come to a deal with Andrew Luck and he was franchised. Brady's
roll
probably done in 3 years.
I'd do it. I would do it.
I would definitely look. I would want to make a deal like that.
There's no one else.
That's it. Franchise quarterback in the prime of his career.
Right.
That's it.
Yep.
Which is, you know, ironically, that's what the franchise tag was supposed to be for.
Right.
When, you know, when our forefathers.
That was the spirit.
You know, drafted up the CBA in the early 90s.
Wasn't Nick
Folk? That's what a franchise tag was supposed to be for.
It wasn't for Tabucky Jones?
It wasn't for Tabucky Jones.
Wasn't for Alex Mack?
I have to admit, I was a little bit surprised when I saw Steve Gregory got cut. Because I figured...
We talked about it a lot last
but
week.
But I figured he was in the mix, at least get him into training camp and see if he can do better and then cut him. But
so you were looking for the year three jump in New England.
Well, look, he was hurt last year. I thought he was playing well up to the point where he got hurt.
He was miscast.
And so now you start over again and hope you can get some of that back.
But remember, he was brought here as a free safety, I think.
No, I know, but I was just...
And he ended up a strong safety because McCourty is now your free safety because of that transition over the last 2 years.
Yeah, that's a good point. So, again, you know...
He's just miscast.
Yeah.
He's a good guy. He's a solid player, a decent backup, all of that. But... He's not worth the money, and he doesn't fit the role you need him to play.
Yeah, do you think that they asked him to restructure, and he said
no? Because I don't think there's just not it doesn't fit. Sorry, the fit isn't here anymore.
But the fit, he'd be a good backup to McCourty at the right price.
But Harmon's probably your backup.
Well, so then you still need a strong safety,
right?
You know, it's not going to be Adrian Wilson, I don't think.
No, it isn't. You know? Maybe it's Dante Whitner.
So
right.
Yeah, one
I don't think it's Bird.
One name we could cross off the list is Bernard Pollard, who a lot of Patriots fans were interested in.
If you can't beat him, join him.
Definite strong safety type, though. You know, physical guy. He re-signed with Tennessee, so he's off the board.
A lot of people have re-signed that we wanted.
Yeah. The Eagles.
Pitta.
The Eagles really
Bolden.
Put a dent in us. Bolden and Pitta going.
Jason Avant just got released. 8-year veteran. What do you think of him? He's had some good games against us, hasn't he, in preseason?
He's a middling player. He's a plotter.
Yeah.
I don't think he's terrible, but for this receiving
core... I
almost said
something really disrespectful.
What?
It's like, you know, 8-year veteran. I go, perfect Patriot free agent.
No, he doesn't.
Would have been good to have 5 years ago.
He doesn't have a liver condition.
So what would be, if you're the GM of the Patriots, what would be your plan of attack? What are you good? What's, you know, if I can do what I want to do in the offseason, what would you be doing?
Well, I've already laid out, I'd be signing a pass rusher. One of them. I you know, the value could, you know, probably not Jared Allen. Right. I'm still waiting for Peppers to get cut. I would sign a pass rusher.
Why not Jared Allen? Because of the money?
I think he's going to make more money than they're going to be willing to pay.
And, no, but you're the GM.
But you're the GM.
You're the GM.
I would probably sign Jared Allen. I would probably give, now I don't know where the market is, but if you told me Jared Allen is going to get 3 years, $20 million, it's somewhat backloaded, but I'm still paying him 11 or 12, somewhat up front, somewhere in that range, I would probably do it. I would get Jared Allen. I would add him to this mix. I think he could bring a lot to this team. I think his attitude could bring a lot to this team that could be needed.
Yeah.
And I'm still targeting tight end as a first or a second round pick. Safety is the one where I'm a little, I need to add a safety that I think can play right away. Is that one of these kids coming out? Is that Dante Whitner? Can I get him at a palatable price? But I think I would very much clearly target defensive end in free agency, tight end in draft, and safety I need to figure out.
Okay. You guys agree with that?
I would definitely like to get the pass rusher. And I would take Allen.
You haven't given, you should be on Peppers.
Well,
you know, you used to lust after Peppers the way you lusted after Kevin O'Connell.
I did, but wait a minute. What?
I did. Wait, what? What's that now?
Why don't you add Mendenhall to the mix?
Yeah, I mean, I would wait. I wouldn't do it today. What? I'm saying
I'd sign him as a backup running back if we lose Blunt.
Great.
But I would want to get a pass rusher, whether it's Peppers or
issues.
The other thing I would want to do is trade a bunch of those sixes and sevens and move up. I want fewer draft picks, but better of them. Mm-hmm. Better positioned draft picks. I would rather have four picks in my entire draft if they were in the top three rounds than to have 72 picks in the bottom five rounds. I don't want any of these crappy players. I want good players. I want talent. That's what I would do.
Okay.
And I'd spend money.
You spend some money.
Yeah, I would definitely, you know, my areas at the top of my list are edge rusher and secondary help. And
I thought it was quarterback.
For God's sakes.
Oh, I'd also add, I'd want to get some more talent for Brady because his window is closing and there's time running out and you gotta load up.
And you gotta also look on that side of the ball for some receivers. No question about it. You have to get a tight end and you have to get probably an outside target. Now, I think that there's a lot of different options out there. Free agent wise that I think would make sense for an outside receiver. I mean, you just have to figure out which one of them fits what you like to do best, you know, out of the, you know, Hakeem Nicks and Jacoby Jones and guys like that. There's a lot of different players that have different skill sets. I'm not going to pretend to be Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels and identify the guy that fits best in the Patriots specific system. I trust them to be able to find that. Now, they haven't been able to do that often enough. With guys coming in as free agents, especially at that position. But, you know, tight end wise, do you sign a guy who can catch the ball, like maybe Brandon Pettigrew or Scott Chandler, and then draft a guy that maybe is a more well-rounded I don't know.
Arthur Lynch?
Okay.
I think there's some different options that you can do. I think that they probably need two different guys that can catch the ball, whether it's a tight end or a wide receiver. They need probably two different guys because I'm assuming that Edelman's going to go. And I want to get away from that whole slot thing anyway. You know that. I want to get more to playmakers on the outside that can make plays down the field. And I think Dobson can be a solid number two. I think you need someone on the other side with him that can play. And then Andy's stuff about defense, I agree with. I think, you know, Jared Allen makes a lot of sense as an edge rusher. Julius Peppers, if he becomes available, would make sense. I like the idea of adding to the pass rush and adding to the coverage.
What about Justin Tuck?
I'd absolutely be interested in Justin Tuck. I wrote about him at the Combine when Jerry Reese said,
he's a more likely one.
In no uncertain terms that Tuck and Nicks will be, they owe it to themselves to get to free agency, Jerry Reese said, the GM of the Giants. So those guys are going to be available. Justin Tuck had a pretty good year. I think he had 11.5 sacks last year. He had a better year than you probably think he did. He's been productive. He's a guy that's been productive against the Patriots, and we know that that sort of carries some weight with Belichick.
Yep.
When he sees a guy, it's why I think Scott Chandler with Buffalo, even though I don't think he's a very good tight, I don't think he's a very good player.
He's a smart guy.
But he has been able to be productive against the Patriots in the past.
Yep.
So I think that carries some weight. That's why I throw his name in there.
All right, so I'm sure we'll hear your thoughts on that same subject. One other thing that people have been talking about a lot was the point after. You know, the competition's committee's been meeting and looking at proposals of what to do to make the point after more relevant. What do you guys think? You know what? I'm in favor of abolishing it. I think it's ridiculous.
What
you
do
don't
you
need
want,
it.
What do you want to
I'm kind of with you.
No point afters, period.
So, make it, so now it's just seven? Touchdowns are seven?
That's it.
Well, but
I like that. I like that better than this.
I want to keep the 2-point conversion opportunity because I think that's an exciting
to get nine.
No.
To get
you have the option of going for two.
Yeah,
or
and if you,
you
get it,
get
you get
one.
Eight. And if you don't, I think you can get. You should only get six.
Oh, then no one would ever go for two unless you were down eight.
Why would you make that an option?
Why would you go for two when you have the chance of losing the point? If you don't do anything, you get seven. I mean, no one goes for two now unless they have to.
I'd get rid of the two. I mean, you try all.
All right,
you
fine.
Work so hard to get this touchdown, and then it's like, oh, okay, now you got your 6 points. We're going to give you an extra point. It's a remnant from rugby.
Yeah.
When the actual kicking of that was more valuable than actually getting it to the end zone in rugby, and they kept that as part of the game. You don't need it. It doesn't need to be part of football. It's
an extra.
Yeah, it's
point.
Like an.
I have no
it's
problem.
It's like an appendix that's finally burst. You don't need it.
I agree with you.
You don't need it.
I would want to keep the 2-point conversion though.
I'm with Eric 100% there. I think that was one of the few things that the NFL has changed over the years. That was a good change.
Mm-hmm.
For a long time, they didn't have the 2-point conversion. They didn't put it into like 94.
Right. Mm-hmm. Has it really been that long though?
Mm. Yeah.
Wow.
You're old.
Yeah, I know.
I like the 2-point conversion. I think it adds to you know, the strategy in the fourth quarter, you know, up five and whatnot, you know, whether you go for two and you want to get within three and stuff. I think the 2-point conversion is a good thing. The extra point doesn't bother me like it seemingly bothers a lot of other people. I didn't realize it was this widespread epidemic.
I didn't really until Bill started ranting and raving about it.
Until that day, I had never heard one person say, you know what's really boring about football? The extra point.
Right.
You know what really stinks about football? The fact that over 99% of extra points are converted. I've never heard one person say that. Now, all of a sudden, it's a widespread epidemic.
It's a kind of a waste. It's, you know, like people say, it's the time to get up and get another beer. Because.
But do people do that? Or do people just sit on their couch and watch the game?
I don't know.
Because that's where, when I get the opportunity to watch games, which is very infrequently, admittedly, because we're always here, I don't find like people scattering away to not watch. Oh my God, avert my eyes. I don't want to watch this extra point. I got
to
go.
No, it's certainly it's not needed to be watched.
It's also not a waste for the broadcast because A, it gives you the replays, and B, it gives you the commercials that are packaged around it.
I know.
So from a financial issue, you're going to have to now find a place to put those.
And contrary
that's not
to what
where
Mike,
I'm making my judgment. My judgment.
But every decision is made based on money.
And contrary to what Mike Felger would have you to believe, it's not touchdown commercial, extra point commercial,
right.
Kickoff commercial. That's not how it works. It's touchdown, extra point, commercial.
Commercial.
You know,
correct.
It's not the extra point is not creating an extra commercial.
Well, then you don't need it.
I don't like change, so I don't want to change. But I'm also enjoying the discussion. I heard this was big on, you know, terrestrial sports talk radio yesterday.
Terrestrial.
And there were rugby people calling in. You know, where you cross the goal line is where you got to kick from. So if you throw a fade into the corner, you got to kick from. And I was like, that's kind of interesting.
I'm not in favor of any of those.
And then. The one that is apparently going to be tried, which the lovely Judy Batista wrote about yesterday, I find it interesting now. Okay, so I'm going to kick a 1-pointer from 43 yards.
Right.
But I have the potential to kick a 3-pointer from like 30 yards. That doesn't seem quite right. That's like, you know, shooting a free throw for 1 point and then shooting from the free throw line for three. Wait, what? Like, something seems a little ass backwards there.
Yeah.
Like conflict in your brain? Isn't there a problem there?
Sure.
But I also understand that field goal distance PATs would offer, you know, did they just tie the game? Well, we can't assume they tied the game at 21 because this guy has to hit a 43-yard field goal, which is very, very makeable but not automatic.
See, now I think you're putting too much emphasis. If you do that, if you move it to the 43 like they're saying, now I think you're putting too much emphasis on the field goal, you know. and not the field goal, the extra point.
So especially in bad weather.
You work so hard, you drive 80 yards at the end of the game to get that six, and then you miss the 43-yarder.
Right.
It doesn't seem fair.
Wah.
You know, so I
especially,
I like your thing better than the 43 yards.
The extra point should not be part of football.
If you if it's such a boring play, then just make touchdown 7 points.
Right. Yep.
If it's this widespread epidemic, just make it 7 points.
It's like, you know, you score a goal in hockey and now you can have a one-on-one for half a point. Yeah. It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine with you.
I think the best case scenario is the elimination.
I just don't want to change the math.
Eliminate and keep the 2 points.
It's not as exciting. That also depends. Do you think it's flawed? If you think it's flawed and unnecessary, then you're right. Get rid of it. If you're looking to bring more excitement to the game, certainly one of these other answers is the solution.
The guy who scores the touchdown has to kick it.
I've heard that.
Did you hear that one?
Yep,
today?
I heard that guy call. Or it simply has to be one of the 11 players on the field at the time of the kick.
It'd be awesome. The AFC Championship game in Indianapolis, we would have had Logan Mankins kicking an extra point and Jeff Saturday kicking an extra point for the Colts.
But if you didn't go that dramatic, but you just said it does have to be one of the 11 players on the field, there'd be strategy. All of a sudden, Steven Gostkowski's lining up in the slot. Mm-hmm. We throw a touchdown to Gronk, and now Gostkowski kicks it, and we win!
How about the head coach has to kick it?
Mm-hmm. I don't think so.
I just think eliminating the kick, making it 7, keeping the 2-point conversion,
I just know the first time like there's this exciting game, and this team comes from this incredible comeback and gets to a point, and then they miss that extra point, I'm going to be pissed.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But it's part of it.
I know, but...
It brings the drama more close. It makes it more immediate. Rather than saying, okay, they tied it, we're going to overtime, and now I'm pumped for an overtime game. Well,
look, I could even make a case that would abolish field goals, but I'm not going there yet. But, you know.
Steven Gostkowski said, hey.
See, I wouldn't mind that either. And I think that's as radical a change as you could make. But I just don't find I like watching football games, and that's not something that draws away from my affection for the game.
I think the game has changed. You know, when the game first started in the Boston Commons and Yale versus and all that crap.
Tufts.
It wasn't really.
Tufts Princeton.
You know, obviously it wasn't professional.
Know your history.
And then it got professional. But even then, you know, we didn't have
professional
like,
when Tufts played.
These skilled
the
players like we do now doing these incredible things. It was still like, you know, you give the ball and student body left, student body right. You know, but now it's like, you don't need the field goal. You don't need extra points.
But that's part
anymore.
Of my argument on the other side. Like a lot of people say, well, this is what
you don't need the forward pass either.
Right. But that's exactly where I was going.
Where are we going here?
You don't need to have. I mean, it wasn't
you
designed
don't need helmets.
When they started football, it wasn't designed to be, you know, kickers to be so specialized in making 99.6%.
Stupid.
It was designed to go 3 yards in a cloud of dust. That's the way football was designed.
You punted on second down inside the 20.
And all of a sudden,
that was the way it was designed, according to Bill Belichick. Let's go back to that.
And they started throwing the ball and making big plays and have all this, you know, offense that was added to the game. The forward pass was such an innovation that the NFL Network actually has a football life about the forward pass.
And there were rule changes because of that, but it was more of an evolution of the game. You know what I mean? Like somebody started realizing, wow, if I get a guy that can pass and we put in these plays, we can do that. But it was still within the construct of the game. You know, to me, the extra point in the field goal is like outside of that construct, you know?
How?
Like they're just like, you know, I know they came from rugby, but they're just weird plays that are outside of what happens between first and fourth down.
So you want to just get rid of special teams?
Well, you can still
punt. That's what Pete Prisco tweeted, and Matt Chatham got all worked up because Pete Prisco said, "Just get rid of special
teams." Right, and I'm out of
and guys like Chatham are like,
"No, you could still have kickoffs and punts, but you know these are plays, field goal and extra point that happen. Well, I shouldn't say that about field goal because it happens on fourth down normally, but it's outside going for the normal plays. You know,
I think you had us on the extra point.
You
argument,
do,
but the field goal one.
I get back to the wording. Yeah. They called it an extra point. It's extra.
Yeah,
yeah. I like I said, I don't have any problem with the way it is.
Really,
now.
No support for my little uprights inside the big ones, huh?
I don't mind that.
Well, I've
actually
heard a lot of people say it.
Oh, really?
I don't mind that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, nice. Any like actual support though? Like we might try it?
No.
I'll bring
none
it up.
None of the hydraulic ones, right?
The actual one is...
When I go down to Orlando for the owners' meeting, I'll ask the competition committee press conference to say, that proposal to have the...
You want them actually moving at the time of the kick, Andy?
Let's just
do they move at the time of the kick like miniature golf?
I wasn't going there, but if you want to take it there, go ahead.
That's the evolutionary process.
I was just thinking based on distance. If you're within the 10, it's only going to be X feet apart. If you move out to the 30, it's a, if you want to take an 80 yarder, I'll widen it up the length of the field. If you can get it 80 yards, we'll give it to you.
But let's just say that we're starting from scratch and we're creating these rules. Why do we need to have an extra point? In what other sport after you score?
Basketball.
What are you talking about?
I don't know. You get fouled. You get and one.
A foul. That's and
foul.
One.
And that's one.
Foul. That's a foul.
It's kind of like an extra point, though.
But, and one.
But
it's not.
But why are you breaking the football rule book down to that one? Why is that?
What do you mean to that one?
Like, why is that? I mean, in the rules of football, they decided that a touchdown is worth six and you have an opportunity to get an extra point.
Right.
That's the rules.
Right.
And you're wondering why.
The reason why.
Well, why aren't you wondering about any other rule?
No, but right. The reason why, I know why.
You know,
because
why 2 feet inbounds instead of
because
one?
Because it came from rugby.
Because it's a rule.
Because the kicking after, going into the end zone was part of rugby. But if you're looking at it now, what is the necessity to give a team in any sport a point after they score?
But what is the necessity in any rule in any sport?
That's
Paul's
rule.
Point.
I'm just wondering why you're picking this rule apart
because
and not
the
other
what
one.
What is the necessity to allow a team to spike the ball to stop the clock?
It's
a rule.
The object in football is to score a touchdown. Okay, I've fulfilled that goal. Now we're going to give you a chance to get another point. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense.
Understand why.
I think you could say that about any rule.
No.
Why do we give a guy a third point from shooting foot further away than he could have?
Why
if
do you
he steps on the line? It's two. But that little toe didn't touch the line.
Why do you get four chances to get 10 yards?
Other rule in football is around either stopping or trying to get 6 points. Inbounds, out of all those other rules.
Except a field goal.
My point. But all those other rules are about either stopping or trying to get a touchdown.
Or a punt.
But except for the extra point.
Why four downs?
Why do you get four downs?
Why not
10 yards?
It's still within 12. The construct of trying to get a touchdown. I mean,
and you're trying to get the extra point?
Yeah, but no.
What's the difference?
But why four?
The touchdown's already happened.
Why not 13?
And now you have to get the extra point.
Right.
The object is to score as many points as you can.
Yeah.
Not just to get touchdowns. It's to get more points than
after team. You get the extra point, let's do another one where if you get that, you can get another point.
So why do we have a safety? Has nothing to do with touchdowns.
Because it's still – we had to have something happen. We had to have a rule. What happens when you get tackled in the end zone?
Why? Why'd you have to have it? You didn't have to have it.
Why is the field 100 yards? They're rules. I mean, there's no answer to them. I'm not saying that you're wrong, but I don't understand why this particular rule
is
stuck in your craw.
It's a vestige of another sport on which this was based.
The whole sport is a vestige of another sport.
Based on another sport.
If you're using vestige right, I'm not sure.
It's a remnant.
I went with based on. Because I knew what that meant.
I don't think it's needed.
I don't think you're wrong, Fred. I just don't understand
why not needed.
This
That's
particular
a fact.
Rule is so far.
But nor is fourth down needed.
Well, unless you change it to five downs.
Right, but it's not needed. Right.
But in the CFL, it's only three.
You have to have a ball.
A ball is needed.
Right, you have to have some limit in way of
dictating
who gets the ball wins.
Now we don't want anybody ever kicking it.
That's
another argument, too.
Shouldn't
be called football because they use their hands 99% of the time.
Pass ball?
Fourth or third or
handball.
But there's no need for an extra point.
I know, that's why they called it an extra point.
Right.
Not a need
point. I'm not suggesting that you have to have this extra point or you completely sacrifice the integrity of the game.
This is the worst argument
we've
ever had.
I just don't understand why it's so important to you that this rule, but not the fact that any of the other thousands of rules created have not caused you to wonder.
Well, the league thinks it's important that they're going through all these different scenarios of what they can do.
But the league doesn't always think that things that are important.
Just get rid of it. Let's get rid of it because if you make it that much more difficult, if you make the level of difficulty that much where now you're only making it 70%, I'm telling you, people aren't going to like that.
I have the exact opposite feel of you. You feel like just get rid of it because it's not needed. I feel like unless I absolutely need to get rid of it, it's been there for 100 years. It's part of my game. Why would I change my game?
That's kind of how I feel.
Like,
about it.
You need to force me, like, through player safety. You need to force me to get rid of something because people are going to die or people are going to kill themselves because of this. Nothing is life and death. Nothing is forcing us to change the extra point except Bill Belichick got his panties in a bunch because they make them a lot.
I don't think he was upset about it. He was just pointing out a fact that, it's 99% of the time it's made.
Okay.
I got it. So
what's the percentage that is right? What happens if we reach a point where third downs are being made 80% of the time? Do we need to alter the game? I mean, where are the percentages that say this has to be changed?
That's kind of my
point. How
about
we don't change it?
Because they got so good at it, now it needs to be changed?
I want the goalpost back on the goal line, but I understand it's dangerous. You can't have them there. So that was made for a specific reason, so people do not get hurt. This is not being made for any reason other than, well, they're really good at it. That's not fair. That's really not fair. They're really good at it.
Well, there was a time when, you know, the rim of a basket, you know, it wasn't always 10 feet, was it?
I have no idea.
I think it was.
Was it?
Because you needed a ladder to get it out of the peach
basket.
I mean,
they changed the three-point, you know, a little bit further out, didn't they?
Well, they didn't have it, first of all.
No, they didn't have it.
The NBA three-point line has been the same since its inception in 1979.
It has? Okay.
The college one has moved.
But I see your argument, though, for it's become such a boring part of the game that it, for the excitement level of the fans and for even the players, right, it needs to evolve. It needs to change.
Those ratings have been plummeting. Yeah. People say, you know what?
And I
too
get
many
that.
Extra points. I'm out.
That,
I'm not watching this league anymore.
No, like, but you're point. Always looking to make your game better.
Yeah,
why?
Exactly.
Why
if
not?
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
But there's
and the PAT ain't broke.
And if you're not going forward, you're going backwards.
There's a lot of plays in the game
so
that are boring.
The failure of the NFL to go forward all results from the extra point.
I'm not saying it isn't.
Okay, so
but
we're
if
going
you
forward.
Don't continue to always...
Ratings are up. Interest is up.
If you don't,
money is up.
If you don't,
the cap is
if,
up.
If you don't always look to get better, you're going to get worse. You always have to be looking to improve.
Right.
So someone
and,
needs
and
to tell
I'm
me.
I'm saying that this is an improvement.
If you look to improve too often,
someone needs to tell me why this
up.
Makes it better.
Right. Right. But I'm. But
and
you know,
yet
to
hear
always
that.
Keep things the way they are is not the way to run a league.
I agree with that, Fred.
Correct.
I'm not. I'm not anti-change, even though
but they have
I often
changed.
But
plenty.
He says he doesn't like change.
No. Unless you force me to change it.
Right.
Unless there's good reason. I have yet to hear
better.
A reason to change the PAT
I don't like, I
other
don't
than
like,
they're good at it.
Yeah, I don't like change for change's sake.
Right.
I like. I don't have any problem with change for an
You didn't hear me yelling about the overtime because I think there was a reason for consideration of change in the overtime.
You know, we often talk about different things that we're doing with the newspaper and the website and stuff like that. And I am often the guy that you guys make fun of because I'm sort of more resistant to the stuff. I'm a dinosaur. You know, Sports Illustrated is constantly changing the look of their cover every, 5 years or so. I like some of the covers that they have, and I don't like others. So I would rather them stay with the ones that I like that are preferable to me. Now, I understand I'm not the only one that they're
targeting. I also don't like the regionalization. Did you see that email we got last week? I knew they had regional covers, but last week they had a national cover, they had a regional cover, and an international cover. Well, if you have a regional cover, then it's not a national cover. Because when I see national, I think it's everywhere in the nation. And if it's regional, so do you have a national cover or do you have a regional cover?
Right.
If you give me four regionals, you give me Wes Welker in Denver, you give me Tom Brady. Okay, I have regional covers this week. We went with something regional.
Right.
But how do I have a national and a regional?
Right.
That doesn't seem to make sense to me.
Doesn't make
but
sense.
When I really
well,
like
doing,
the look
you're
of something.
The games, you have your regional broadcast and,
yeah,
then
and
you
I don't,
have your national
yeah,
game.
Yeah, I don't buy that either.
Right.
You have a primetime game or it, to me, if it's national, everyone in the country is watching that game. It's national.
Yeah, Mike Baker writes in. He says, "We could never get rid of field goals because look at how many games we've won by kicking a field goal. We wouldn't have had to if they didn't have those field goals either. You know, if you're up by
wouldn't
three,
have a single Lombardi.
Right.
I'm not necessarily looking at it in terms of the game. It'd be the same for everybody, so
right.
It wouldn't impact any team over another. I just don't feel like there's a problem with it. It's like when we always talk about redesign. If I like the design of something, I don't feel the need to redesign it to something that I may or may not like.
Generally, redesigns are involving increased business. They redesign a car so they inject life into it and
right.
get more buyers, new
right.
buyers, all that.
Yeah, if I'm making the car better,
to
I
inject,
like that.
Do we need to inject more life into the NFL fandom? I mean, is this
well? People,
like, what is the reason to change it?
People think they need to inject new life in the point after.
Why?
Because it's been a boring thing. It's a given.
But have you ever met anybody that says that until now?
No, but if you identify an area that,
so
hey,
not,
we could
so,
make this better.
So it wasn't a problem. Yeah, but that's my point. Are you making it better?
I don't know. That's what they have to figure out. But do you think 50,000 feet view?
Because I'm sorry.
Could you make the
if a game
point
is on the line,
better?
If a game,
make it better?
If a
yeah.
game is on the line and a touchdown is scored with no time left, that extra point is exciting. I don't care that it's made 99.6%
right.
of the time.
And there have been misses.
There have been misses.
Who was the
and
Carolina
you never know
guy
when
a few
it's
going to
happen.
Ago.
Morton Anderson missed one to cost the team the playoffs.
It was a Saints guy at Carolina who missed it. It was the old guy. John Carney.
I think Morton Anderson missed one.
It was John Carney who missed. They had that great Jacksonville
in the playoffs. The year that we played Jacksonville in the AFC Championship game. The only reason why they made the playoffs was because Morton Anderson missed one in the last play of a game.
But I know the one you're thinking
that was the most recent lateral I can remember.
Bunch of laterals. The Saints were, oh, they go in the score. The and then John Carney went, whoop.
What if the defending team gets 12 guys?
I just don't think it's broken. I'm with Andy on this. I don't understand what the big problem is. I never heard anybody complain about the extra point until, like, November when Belichick did it.
Gimmickization of the NFL. That's where we're going. It's all gimmick.
Okay. All right. Let's get to the Ace Ticket Hotline. We got people waiting. Nolan from California is on the line. Hey, Nolan.
Hey, what's up?
What's up?
All right. First off, about the extra point, I'm kind of on the fence, and I think there's other rules that, you know, maybe should be talked about other than the extra point. I don't feel like it's a big deal.
Such as?
And that's what I wanted to say about the extra point. On the other news.
Such as? What other rules were you talking about?
Any of them I would put ahead of the extra point.
Any of them. I would, you know, there was one play, Patriots and the Jets, where a Patriots player ran into his own guy on a field goal, and I've only seen that rule one time, and that was the only time I've ever seen it.
Right.
And I'm pretty sure there was other times that that play has happened.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
And another thing, Vince Wilfork's contract is coming up. Do you think he's willing to take a pay cut so the Patriots can increase their salary?
I think he'd be willing to sit down and talk. I don't know if he'd be willing to take much of a pay cut, but I think he'd be willing to restructure.
Oh, restructure, certainly.
Yeah, restructure. Because that means you're handing me a check. I'm not sure he'd want to take a pay cut.
I think that's the biggest question of the offseason on some level, because I think it's totally, I'm going to make up a word here, unhandicappable. Because I don't think anyone really knows. I saw some tweets where our good buddy Mark Bertrand was on some show on CSNNE last night, and they were, you know, Mark Bertrand says it's an easy call to cut Vince Wilfork. Really?
Yeah.
I find that
that's
not
a
easy.
Tough call. Thanks for the call, Nolan.
On and off the field. Yeah. Yeah. You know, on the field, I think you can argue he's still a key player that they struggled to replace at times last year and that has value not just as a run stuffer, but to what he does with blocking schemes, Chandler Jones, your Pat, all of that. But then off the field, he's also a lifetime Patriot who has ties to the community, to the ownership group, all of those things. I don't see how you can say it's
an easy call? Mark Bertrand. Jeez.
I think that's how you get on those shows. That's why Paul and I are out, because we don't say stupid things.
Speak for yourself.
Andrew's in Buffalo. Hey,
oh, you're
Andrew.
Right. You say a lot
plus
of stupid
stuff. Plus it's the offseason. Hey, Andrew, what's
going on?
Talking
Patriots, they could have us on.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Is this Andrew in the Ukraine?
Buffalo.
Oh.
Buffalo, yeah. I haven't called in a while because I took a little break, you know. But nothing serious. I wasn't depressed or anything.
Well, that's good.
I don't really have access to it. I'll listen to y'all every once in a while if my girlfriend comes home. I'll listen to y'all show on her phone because I don't have access right now. But one of the things I saw on SportsCenter, I think yesterday or a couple of days ago, actually, apparently New England was shopping Amendola out, thinking of seeing what trade considerations they were going to do.
Thank you for bringing that up. I forgot about it. Who started that report?
I came to it, Paul. I believe it was Dan Pompey.
Okay. So at least it wasn't some blogger.
I don't even know who Dan Pompey works. Does he still work for a Chicago newspaper, and was that where he
reported? I think he's a national guy.
No, he works for Bleacher Report.
Hey, I think he's like a Yahoo guy or something like that.
No, I think he's Bleacher Report. But anyway, Dan Pompey is legitimate. he's legitimate. Okay.
But that doesn't mean it's legitimate, just because he's legitimate.
Yeah,
I have no doubt the Patriots would love to trade him.
But I don't really understand what you gain.
I don't see how you're going to do it.
I don't really understand what you gain by trading him, necessarily. You're still pulling the plug on...
You don't have to pay him.
Well, you're already on the hook for guaranteed money this year and the guaranteed money you already paid him.
Right. That's right.
But if you cut him after this year, it's the same as trading him. You cut him.
You cut him?
I think the thing that would possibly come into play is you designate him a post-June 1st cut and split it up a little bit. I think it would be one and change this year and then 3-6 next year.
You were so madly in love with him last spring that you had to rush out and make sure there was no chance you could possibly lose him, and now you're ready to just cut. I don't get it.
You were admitting you're wrong.
Oddly,
but I don't think he was terrible.
It's one of the things that I like most about the way they do business is they are not afraid to do that.
Unless it's a third round pick who can't, you know, be active for a game.
Yeah, but that's costing them nothing.
No, but you were so see, I don't care for it. I don't see
anything. I don't either. I want to keep
like
him.
Brandon Lloyd. Well, I saw
that's
plenty.
That's a different argument.
I saw plenty argument. To not like about Brandon Lloyd in the short time he was here to say, okay, we made a mistake. Well, let's move on. I didn't really see that with Amendola.
Right.
I saw a guy who was battling an injury, which you knew he could do because he's always battled injuries. I saw a guy who at times was productive, which you knew was at times productive, but wasn't great year to year, and the injuries are concerned. Like, what made you say, I got to cut him? I was so wrong on him.
Right. Because you're not going to save the money.
Right.
Sorry. I know I'm going to get mad.
Games, he came up short, and he hasn't really elevated the team to where he made some pretty key catches. I felt like he came up short in the playoffs.
He came up short all year. Yeah. It's not, you know, he didn't.
Yeah,
he was hurt. I think Andy's right. I think he was battling.
Don't know is why did he come up short? Was it because he couldn't get open? Was it because Brady just didn't target him? You know, was it because of the injury? We don't know why.
That's the Brady part to me, I think, might be relevant here, and I'm hesitant to bring it up because I know where it'll go. And Paul hates Brady, but I wonder if that's part of this whole thing, is that he hasn't clicked with Brady, and they look at it and say, rather than trying to fit the square peg in, he's not going to throw to him. So let's cut our losses.
But see, I thought he clicked with Brady in the summer, and then
yes, so did I. Exactly, the spring,
and then
the
when
summer.
He stopped having the ability to get open, he stopped clicking with Brady.
I mean,
which look, I think was the growth.
I don't want to get too dramatic, but I thought that performance in the opener against Buffalo was one of the best clutch performances we've seen out of receiver.
It was very
impressive. In a while, here.
And we all said,
very impressive.
I think we all agreed that the receiver who looked the best throughout the spring and the summer was Amendola until he got hurt. Missed the Detroit game, the third preseason game, and then it was
right
different. After
all
that.
Downhill
right.
from there.
Right,
so he's even less than Tillman.
Right. Oh, and one more thing too.
He did it in two preseason games.
No, but the whole Brady doesn't like trust him, get along with him, has no rapport, has no. I felt like all of that came after he was hurt. So,
right? If you didn't gain trust in that Buffalo game, I don't know what you need to do to gain Brady's trust.
Remember he had that one catch where he was like bouncing off a linebacker and contorting in the air.
Yeah, he's like vertical in the air.
So Brady doesn't trust him.
Well, but I think in the interim, he got hurt in Buffalo, and then he missed how many games was it?
Three, I think.
Yeah.
In the interim, Edelman stepped up. Brady started to get comfortable with Edelman, and I think he just stayed being comfortable with Edelman.
Yeah,
right. I don't know if it's necessarily an indictment on Amendola. But I think he got hooked, and Brady's done this before. He gets hooked on a guy, and he just stays there.
Yeah, I don't think it should be an indictment on him, but I don't know. I mean, again, there's all these whispers that he was okay to go late in the season, and it wasn't the injury.
And
that
they're
was
not having surgery
down.
To fix it. Right. It doesn't. It's just some rest.
I don't know. There's a lot of questions about Danny Amendola. Then this report comes out. But you know what? And the reason why I'm adamant about finding out who started the report, because I am sure that there's no one on this team, except for maybe Tom Brady, that they wouldn't be interested in trading. Mm-hmm. So I hate it when the report comes out, Patriots would be interested in trading Damian. Well, they should be. Every guy should be on the table. They're not doing their job if they're not exploring every avenue.
That's not the same thing.
Why?
The report is saying that they're shopping Amendola.
No. Yeah, what does that mean?
What it means is they want to trade him. That's not the same as saying if someone's calling about any guy on your roster,
right.
I'm going
to
talk about
it. I'm talking to a general manager.
Now, I don't know if the report is true,
right.
But
I'm talking
that's
to
not
a general manager about that I have a good line of communication with, that I can speak freely with. You know, hey, who's available for you? Well, Amendola, if you'd want Wolf, I would mention a bunch of guys' names.
I don't think if it was a guy you had a really good relationship with, as you're painting this picture, it wouldn't be in Dan Pompey's column.
Well, that's the thing. I would trust that he wouldn't leak it out.
I would too. And I think
there
probably were some and have been some guys that would include that type of a relationship, but that it got out means it's more than those people.
Yeah. I'm not surprised.
Or made up.
Look, I'm not shocked.
And I don't dismiss that.
I'm not shocked that. Danny Amendola would be available for a trade, but to me, that doesn't mean that there aren't other guys, and it doesn't mean to me that they've given up on him. But it could be. It could be.
We should also bring up, there's another report about another wide receiver on this team who may or may not need surgery, and that's Aaron Dobson.
Correct.
Jeff Howe, Paul's guy from the Herald, had talked to him the other day.
From Buffalo.
And he's not depressed, which makes him outside the norm of people living in Buffalo.
Oh, yeah, the caller.
People live in
Buffalo.
You're
talking about Dobson. I was like, what?
No, I don't think he's depressed, is he?
Yeah, I don't know. He doesn't seem like it. But anyway, the lingering injury from the foot injury from the end of the season, they reportedly were asking him to just rest it, not do anything, don't run, don't do anything strenuous, and hopefully that would
heal
it.
Paul's been doing that, too.
Supposedly, he's in the next 2 weeks, I think, they're going to determine whether or not he would need surgery.
Who's they?
The team's medical staff.
Okay. No, you know why? Because it gets me back to Amendola. Let's just say that, you know, the team doctors are saying, you know, he's okay. And Amendola's like, well, I'm really not. This is where you can't blame an agent to telling his client, you know what, shut it down. Because, no, you can't lose. You can't win this one. Because if you don't perform to the standards that they want, you're going to get all the blame. When you and I know that you're hurting. So shut it down. You know?
Yeah, but he's certainly not in the shut it down category.
Well, that's great, and we admire him for that.
Some of the stuff that we heard, again, we don't know what is 100% accurate, but a lot of the stuff we heard when he originally got hurt was the opposite.
Right.
That the team wanted him to sit down and that he wanted to stay out there, and that's why he was out there practicing. That's why I don't give him the pass, you know, for not being as productive as he might be, because he was the one that put himself out there. And if it was affecting him that much and he didn't need surgery at the end, that's on him, because, you know, he could have gotten more rest than he took,
right?
Based on some of the stuff we heard.
But, you know,
at the time.
It's tough for a player. You're damned if you do and damned if you don't. If you don't give it, if you don't gut it out,
I just don't think the guy's a difference
maker player.
Then guys,
we criticize. If you do and you don't perform, then, you know, you're not supposed to use injuries as an excuse. So.
And him more than others because of the history and everything coming here.
Yeah, and he knows that.
And that's the part. Like,
he knows that. So that affected his decision, I am sure.
I am a little bit hypocritical when it comes to Amendola, because I have a ton of respect for the toughness of the player. I saw the guy play against Buffalo and take those hits that you guys are talking about. I don't question his toughness. Just because you're injury prone doesn't mean that you're not tough. And I don't question his toughness. I don't think he's that good. That's where the two things come in. Yeah, I thought he caught some passes in practice. I've seen guys do that. I'm not all that. I was not, and you can't call me.
You're
20,
at your best when you're dismissive of
but
players'
don't,
talents.
Don't call me 20/20 hindsight when, you know, everybody and their brother was talking about the 130 catches Amendola was going to make in preseason. Not you guys. I'm not saying us. I'm not arguing with you guys. But he had a strong preseason. Well, I should say he had a strong start to training camp because he got hurt in the middle of it. I didn't necessarily look at that as saying, wow, he's going to be great because he was, you know, he's catching passes in, you know, with shorts on in minicamp. I don't get all excited about that stuff the way other people did. And I still hear people now, locally, some of the apologists, my boy being among them, Jeff Howe, I saw what I saw in the summer. And, well, that didn't mean anything.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't mean anything what happens, at, you know, that's a good foundation. That's a good start. I certainly would be more worried if he looked like Ocho Cinco did in training camp,
right,
than what I saw Amendola look like. But I'm not looking there and saying, oh, we're all set now. He fit in. No, let's see what happens when the other team's covering him.
All right, one more call, then we'll go to a break. Chris with a T-I-A-N. Hey, Christian.
Hey, guys. Some great topics today. As far as the extra point goes, yeah, it's, you know, I never had a problem with it. I mean, you know, when the touchdown is reviewed and it's confirmed, you know, I get up, I go to the bathroom. I don't watch the extra point. It's a formality. You just don't watch it. But I never had a personal problem with the first day.
But you wouldn't be sad to see it go if it were eliminated.
I mean, I could care less either way, and you make touchdown 7, and then whatever you want to do with the 2.
But made it a 43-yarder, you'd still go to the bathroom, right?
No. See, that's the point of the NFL.
Why?
The NFL thinks that you wouldn't.
You come back and you see, oh, they must have made it.
Yeah,
I mean,
but it's less of a sure thing.
No, I know, but who cares?
It's less of a sure thing.
If you don't want to watch the kick, who cares if he makes it or not?
Yeah, but you're not watching it now because 99.9% of the time you know the result.
You know what, Christian? You're my good buddy and all. You're my favorite caller ever. I'm calling a little bullcrap on you.
Uh-oh.
I don't think that you have never watched extra points.
I think
you watch more than you've missed. Let's put it that way.
Not recently. I haven't. I can tell you that usually I get up because it's a formality. Like I said, I either grab food or I take a whiz.
That's a lot of beer. That's a lot of beer getting consumed.
He has a problem.
You can go in the bathroom for every extra point?
I have an issue. I have overactive bladder syndrome. What do I want to tell you?
Not if it's a Patriots playoff game.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't move there. Yeah, that's true. If it's a playoff game, I don't move, actually.
Paul, I figured Paul would jump on that one.
When did Fred turn into Paul?
Right. I was just wondering. That was just a joke. I don't mean that. I apologize.
Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned.
As far as Revis goes, I'd give a first-round pick, $60 million, and somebody with a big head's mother to get him.
Hey, hey!
I didn't say anybody. I said someone with a big head. It could be anybody.
All right.
Now, would your team be better?
Thanks, Chris.
How much better would your team be?
Of course they would.
Why?
Our team would be much better.
Much better?
Yeah.
So, Talib and a first-round pick named Jason Morrow or Serafina Jenkins or however the hell you say his name or Ely, any of those guys, and Talib, you wouldn't be better than with just Revis.
You'd make your secondary very, very good.
As far as I'm concerned, if Revis is the player that he was in New York and you're taking away a side of the field, you're better.
So like Talib did for the first 6 weeks?
Yeah, you're better. Now, we can debate the first three games and the next three games and how they looked, and this, which are valid reasons, but when you saw this team with a cornerback who could play and not trail like Arrington and Dennett, who could get in the guy's grill and man up, the defense was better.
So you're down not
to talk about the degree of better, but they were better.
So is this more about just Talib's injury?
Oh, I'm scared to death of signing him long-term.
Because you clearly liked what you saw from Talib for 6 weeks and what that did to the defense. So the value of the first-round pick is getting the durability of Revis over the questionable health of Talib. That's what you're giving up that first-round pick for.
I got to do it somewhere, and that's the spot. Yeah, correct.
Okay.
I mean, it's a tough call to make. It's a tougher call to make for me. And I do it, but I would make it. I would cut Wolfork. I wouldn't restructure him. I don't think you need him.
Plus, see, that's wouldn't it be cool to have Revis and have to play against the Jets twice with Revis? That'd be great.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, that'd be awesome because they will beat him. Yeah.
That'd be great.
I didn't say it like that, you fathead.
All right. And let's take a break. Lots of calls, lots of emails coming in. Everyone's fired up. It's Patriots off-season talk.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
We're NRG, and we're a new kind of energy company. One that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy. One whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country. One that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go.
Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown! Ha-ha!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call star NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
You've heard of Growing Up Gronk. But now comes the tell-all book of the Perillo family.
We were going to go drink. I might not have any use the rest of the day.
From the storied authors of Northeastern Football, An Extinct Dynasty, and The Best Places to Drink Diet Pepsi in Everett comes Growing Up Perillo.
All I can tell you is if my brother wasn't there, I'd still be on him, pounding the shit out of him.
Okay, and he just swore.
Be there through Northeastern Husky glory.
It was a very big night in Northeastern sports. I won't go into the details because I won't bore you. 1982. My father was at the Garden for the hockey championships that Northeastern won, and I'm home watching them play in the first round of the NCAA basketball, which they won. And my brother got out.
Paul, you cover the basketball. We'll take the hockey.
No, my brother went out and got arrested that night. So my mother had to do all of the stuff. She had to go down and get him, and they had to get the car from a tow lot. My mother was unbelievably incensed. So I know I got about 30 seconds to celebrate with my father when he comes home before all hell's going to break loose. So I come running out of my
little
room.
Little angel, right?
I'm jumping up and down, high-fiving right. My father, and I go, all right, gotta go. And I ran back in the room.
Rich.
And all you heard was, it was like Joe Pesci, and just once I wanted to be big. Ow! Bing! Boom!
Wow. You've disgraced the Perillo family, not to mention the whole Husky community.
Treasured father-son time.
My brother was going back and forth with my father, and it was one of those, you know, open your mouth one more time, and I'm gonna let you have it. My brother was actually in the shower, and he didn't think my father could see him, and he just opened his mouth. My father laid him out through the shower curtain. One shot, right in the jaw, went down. As my brother tells the story, I'm lying nude in the jaw. Classic.
And other fond memories of the Perillo boys.
You know, my grandmother used to live with us when we, you know, when she was still alive. She used to, all of a sudden, she'd have these attacks of conscience. She'd be like the old Italian grandmother, you know, I had to be all worried. And my brother was in trouble for something. My father was all over him, and he hit him. And she got all nervous, and she calls up Aunt Camilla. You know Aunt Camilla from
sure.
Famous Stories. They're sisters. So she calls up, she goes, oh, Allie's beating the living out of him, but I'll tell you, he deserved it, though.
Growing Up Perillo, flying off bookshelves everywhere. Order yours now by calling 855-PATS-500 or placing your order via email to webradio@patriots.com. Now, back to PFW in progress.
All right, back here in PFW in progress. Mike in Carlsbad, California writes, and I love the show, even Eric, and wanted to offer an alternative to the NFL's extra point issue. I propose after a touchdown is scored, the player who lined up behind the center for the scoring play must kick the extra point from the 2-yard line. I think this would be exciting because they won't make them all. My guess is 85 to 90%. And there will be trick plays drawn up due to the fact that the starting quarterback is lined up at kicker. So, quarterback, that's the way it used to be, right? Quarterback was usually the kicker.
I thought it was Geno.
Hello. Well, he was a quarterback for a while.
Oh, I thought it was.
Oh no,
receiver.
He's a wide receiver.
Wide receiver.
George Blanda was a quarterback kicker, one of the great.
Danny White was a punter.
Punter.
Yeah. Tom Tupa.
Because usually, you know, the quarterback growing up was the best athlete.
Actually, Theismann punted for a while too, didn't he?
Did he? Yeah.
Brady punts.
Yeah.
No, I mean like regularly.
I know.
Randy
Cunningham is a College Football Hall of Fame punter.
That's true.
Pat writes in, he says, I know I normally have a question, opinions, but occasionally can be a smartass and make you guys laugh. But today I want to address a huge loss to Patriots Nation. My father passed away early Monday morning. He was not a sports fan by any means. He called basketball girly ball and exclaimed on many different occasions how he'd rather watch paint dry than watch baseball. However, he liked football and he loved the Patriots. Every Sunday since the beginning of the 1991 season, we would do our best to watch every Patriots game together, myself, my brother Sean, and my dad. There were absences one whole autumn when I was in the Marine Corps boot camp in 94. Obstacles and other forces greater than anything I can imagine that kept us apart on occasion. But for the better part of the last 23 years, if a Patriots game was on, we were watching it. So if you could, please dedicate this week's podcast to the greatest man and biggest Patriots fan I've ever known, my father, Gomer Bowen. Thanks and God bless. So sorry about your loss.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that you can get some enjoyment out of the show. That's really nice.
We'll wait the obligatory 5 seconds.
And then make a joke about his name?
Yeah.
Gomer.
No, he was in the Marine Corps.
I don't even
know.
Well,
the son was, anyway.
Well, the father might have.
Because we want to make it authentic. If we're going to dedicate the show to him, and I'm being serious when I say this, we need to make it authentic. We can't go out of our way and do things that we would never do.
We'll call this week's show Gomer and the Homer.
Right. Gomer and the Homer.
Okay. What was the last name? Bowen?
Yeah.
Gomer Bowen.
Let's go all the way across the Pacific Ocean.
Who's
to
the Homer?
Japan. Me.
You were
dummy.
Just ripping the team. Unless it's a Patriots playoff game, not many extra points in those.
I apologize for that.
You did, right
away.
And
I still feel badly.
Dan's in Japan. Hey, Dan.
And it rhymes.
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, good.
Konnichiwa.
Konnichiwa, yeah.
Oh, that's all I got.
I don't know. What do you want?
No, that's all I got.
Sushi.
You know. That's not stereotypical or anything.
Because you can't say it like someone from Japan might want.
What
some, you know,
are you calling
Asian
on? Are you calling on 0053116139 6?
No, I'm not.
No.
And you can discuss the
sport. He almost gets me every time when he does it.
And it called it Cuba.
Oh, this is the guy that says when you call that number, it's Cuba or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
As in Gooding Jr.?
Fidel here. That wasn't a Cuban accent, was it?
No.
Fidel, how may I help you?
I don't know what that was. Yeah. He's not part of your little game.
It's Raul now, isn't it?
When are we doing that, by
is
the way?
Is Fidel dead?
I don't know. We got to
no, I mean,
the
guy in charge.
Off.
Oh.
Yeah. When's the accent off?
I don't know. We should sometime in next
week. We got to wait for the doldrums, right?
I can win an accent off.
That's 6 weeks.
It's getting the accent right that I promised.
All right. Dan, what do you got?
I was wondering if you guys wanted to play a little game.
Oh, I love games. You know
what
that.
Time is it right now in Japan? Is that the game?
It is.
I was told there'd be no math.
But that's 3:17 in the morning.
Why are you up?
I have tomorrow off.
Why are you up? Did you just finish having a rompous night of sex?
A rompous night?
No.
Oh, so then why are you up?
Well,
are you?
It's only 3:17. The night's still young. Get out there.
Right.
You never know.
Well, I want to get off the phone with you. I'll go see what I can do about that.
Get yourself a geishi girl.
What's the game?
Can
you buy
those
before he gets himself in trouble?
Variation on the sign him for long term, sign him short term, cut him.
Okay, good. Go.
Okay.
So are we talking in yens or dollars?
Sign him long term, sign him short term, cut him. Got it.
All right, so long term is until they stop playing. Short term is 2 years at the price of the franchise tag, and cut him means that we send him to the Jets.
Okay.
All right. So let's start off here. First one, Mayo, Jones, Collins.
Oh, I have to do one, and one.
One.
This is like,
marry, hate, like, kill.
Yeah.
Okay.
Who is it again? Jones, Mayo, who?
Wilford?
Collins.
Collins.
Oh, Collins.
Ooh, that's a tough
that's
one.
That's a tough one. I'm going to let Mayo go to
Mayo
the Jets.
Mayo go to the Jets.
And I'm going to sign Chandler Jones long term and sign Collins short term.
I agree with Paul. That was a very astute answer.
Wow. That never happens.
Well, it was obvious.
And there it is.
Bringing all kinds of unity to you.
I would sign Mayo short term, sign Jones long term, and let Collins go.
Really?
Really?
To the Jets? Yeah. Superstar Jamie Collins, you're going to let go to the Jets.
Yeah. He's already made more plays than Mayo has.
Holy Moses. You put him behind Muhammad Wilkerson? Sniff. You're going to rue the day you made that move, Fred.
Okay.
Yeah, you will.
I think all of them are hard. I mean,
that's why it's a game.
That's why he
right.
Very,
it's not supposed
to be obvious.
Any one of those guys go to the Jets.
Right. But
hard.
He put some thought into the guys that he paired together. Or,
I understand.
Know,
if it were obvious, it would waste his time at 3:17 in the morning more than he already is.
That's a good question. Eric, what would you do?
I would let Mayo go to the Jets. I would sign Jones short term and Collins longer term.
Okay.
It's a little spin. Little
to me,
spin.
That's the only question. I think Mayo's the guy to go.
Right. I agree.
Not that I want Mayo to go.
What will we ever do when Gerard Mayo has 10 tackles for the Jets next time we play
him? Go 12-4 and win the division.
Oh.
Okay, what's the next one?
All right, next one. Here we go. Let's go to the offense. We have Dobson, Edelman, Amendola.
Can I let them all go to the Jets?
I would let Amendola go to the Jets. I would sign Edelman short term and Dobson long term.
I think that's what I would do too.
Yeah, but that's what I would do, but I'm really not interested in signing any of those guys long term right now.
Right. It's hard to say that, but
yeah.
Dobson has the upside. You're still living off the upside, so you sign him, I guess.
Yeah. We're concurrent.
All right, Dan.
You got another one?
I've got as many. I don't have as many as you want.
No, just one more because we have other people.
This is a good game.
One more.
One more. If you actually go out and get it,
we got the phone line stacked up.
If you actually go get a Geisha girl, you can call back.
I cannot afford that.
How much does that cost in yen?
God's sake! Shut up.
I know. Let him play the game.
Any number that I can even consider.
Oh, okay.
Andy had a hurt look on his face when we all yelled.
You guys are all being a holes.
All right, so last one, and remember, you cannot send all these guys to the Jets.
Go,
Ryan, Dennard, Arrington,
Logan, Ryan, Alfonso, Dennard, Kyle, Arrington.
Arrington goes to the Jets.
Dennard
long term.
I would say Dennard long term, Logan Ryan short term. I agree with Andy on that one.
Yeah, okay,
that's a good one.
He took the obvious.
Yeah, okay. All right, Dan. Well, thanks for the call. That's interesting. I like the game. We'll have to play more of that down the road.
It's like F. Mary Kill.
I'll send you some more by email.
Okay. Go to sleep, you loser.
Right. Let's go to Chucktown. Maurice is there. Hey, Maurice.
Hey, guys.
Where? Should I ask where Chucktown is?
Charlestown.
Oh.
South Carolina.
Chucktown.
Hey, man.
I got it.
We can use with Amendola. And it's going to have to involve a draft pick, a sixth round pick this year or a fifth round next year. Tie it that with him, hopefully a team with cap space that's willing to take a chance with him because he's a good player when he's healthy. So I think that's the only way we can get rid of him and not have cap millions against us. What do you think?
Well, if you trade him, it's the same acceleration as cutting him.
I thought once you trade him, that's the other team's.
No, they take the salary,
right? Otherwise,
your bonus
they take the base.
Same.
But
just like if you cut him,
any bonus that was prorated into this year and for the duration of the contract that hasn't been paid yet gets accelerated into this year.
As a matter of fact, it would actually cost you a little more to trade him because you wouldn't have the option of that post June 1st thing that we talked about earlier in the show.
Right.
Well, we need to just go ahead and cut him. We as fans, we want stuff. We got to open up our wallets too. I would be willing to pay $25 more per ticket to get rid of it if I had the chance to.
No, you wouldn't. People can say but if they raised every ticket $25, it would be an hellacious outcry.
And remember, that's $250.
The Bruins are getting killed right now. They have an increase for season ticket holders. Some of them as high as 40%.
Yeah.
And they're getting killed for it, by the way,
as they should.
Yes.
Yeah, but I think Edelman does so much for us. I mean, he's a punt returner. He's a good slot receiver, outside receiver at times. And you can also hand the ball off to him out of the backfield. I mean, I can honestly see him going to the Jets.
I couldn't see him going to the Jets because I don't think that's where they need weapons, playmakers. They have a guy already that can play the slot.
The thing is, Rex Ryan doesn't care about winning. All he cares about is getting on the Belichick skin.
Yeah.
No. Right. Come on.
Well, the best way to get on the Belichick skin is
to beat him the way he has been able to do.
All right, Paul. Snarky Paul.
more often than anybody else in the division was all I was going to say.
A lot of good it's done him.
So what do you think, you think the team is going to re-sign with us? What do you think, if not, what's the alternative? What do you think is going to happen?
I do think he's going to resign. I think he's going to be possible. Back. What we thought he was going to be back.
And
four years, $8 million a year, whatever, somewhere in that range.
You don't think it's possible?
Also, no, I think it's possible. I don't think he's going to be back.
One more thing before I get off. What would be the dollar amount per year to get Hakeem Nicks? Because I would like him and Dobson and Edelman if we can get Edelman.
Oh, probably right. $5 million?
I've actually seen some people saying that he might consider doing the 1 year thing.
If you could get him for 1 year, I would be interested in that. And I wouldn't mind giving him like $5 million. For 1 year, but if it's a long-term deal, I think he's going to be looking for a decent amount of money long-term.
Oh, I'd give him 1 year, $5 million, and try it. See if I can.
I absolutely would do that.
And I'll also be fine walking away if I rebuild his career.
But if it's like a 3 year, you know, like $21 million deal, which I think that he would be looking for if he's going to sign a long-term deal. The 1 year deal can work for the player too.
Correct.
Like Talib.
Right.
The 1 year deal worked just as well for Talib as it did for the Patriots. He immediately got himself right back on the market. And I think if you're Knicks, yeah, I'll sign a one-year deal, but if I'm going to sign a long-term deal with you, I want more money. Yeah, I don't want to lock myself into a $5 million.
Plaxico Burress has been making the rounds today, says he could help teams in the red zone. Would you be interested in him?
Nope.
No?
No. I don't think anybody runs the run-and-shoot anymore. Yeah.
I see what he did there. It's a gun joke.
Rich Ornberger just tweeted out.
Uh-oh. Ishlong or something?
My sex life and golf game are a lot alike. I'm usually drunk, aim for 72 strokes or less, and always have way more fun than my partner.
He's a funny guy.
He really is.
Marcus is in Miami. Hey, Marcus.
Guys.
Hey.
What's up?
Hey, I just had a couple questions about our cap situation. So I know we're at around 12.5 or whatever situation when we cut a... Gregory, are we still waiting on this the NFL to give us any money back from Hernandez? Or
well,
we gotta,
yeah,
we
but that's get... not going to happen yeah, this year.
You're not going to get that
this year. It
can't
happen until after there's a verdict.
What if he gets indicted for that 2012 thing? Is that
then you could get some money back if that happens? But my friend's right; it's not going to happen for a while.
I think he'd still have to be tried on that.
Yeah,
because an indictment doesn't mean you did anything.
Right.
No, I mean the second one. I think the trial for the second one where he is rumored is the biggest issue you'd be...
You can't go to the league and say, we think he did it, give us our money. He has to be proven that he did it.
Right. So that's... I mean, you're talking potentially 2 years away.
Right.
Yeah.
So we're stuck with that.
We are stuck with that.
Paying him? They're still paying him? Like, the money's still going to his account? Or
there's money owed to him, and I think we said we weren't going to pay it, and I think that's... They're suing the Patriots, aren't they?
I believe so. Yeah. They're pursuing that.
So
the NFLPA is also pursuing it, even though they sent out a release saying, we don't really want to do this, but we feel like we should do it because...
You know how I said that...
I get it.
See, I don't. You know how I said I don't think that the Patriots should get any cap relief for it? They also should not be responsible for paying one more dime. I mean, I'm sorry.
I know, but...
The guy's in prison. Yeah. He's not due any more money.
I know,
he's innocent.
There's a lot of innocent men in prison.
They're all... just ask them.
Right. But you can't do that by law. It's just you got to abide by the laws, you know?
What laws?
So what?
Contractual laws.
So you're telling me that if they gave him the money, that whatever deadline passes now, that they owe him more money, and then if he's found guilty, they can get the money back, theoretically?
Which they won't be able to.
No,
because it'll all be gone.
We know they could never get it back. It's like the OJ thing.
Right,
like, you know,
right.
But
I mean, that's the price of doing business, right?
No,
isn't it?
No.
I mean,
they should not have to pay him any
I don't
more
think
money.
They should, but legally they should.
How
much is the cap?
Morally, they shouldn't, but legally.
$7.5 million.
Oh, my God.
He's not playing. They were paying him to play.
It's not because he doesn't want to.
Good Lord. All right, so one last question. What do you think we're going to do about this Mankins and Wilfork? Do you think they're going to restructure? I mean, didn't we just. Logan Mankins, he held out, what, 2011?
Yeah, I don't think anything's going to happen with Logan Mankins. Wilfork's the one that I think something has to happen.
Yeah.
I don't think you can do anything with Mankins. You can't.
Because we just went through it with him, and he deserves the money. He's not really – he's been a stand-up guy, but the
well, plus
Wilfork thing.
He has 3 years left, I believe, so it's there's very little you can do there without tying your own hands.
Let me ask you a question, guys.
Want to cut him?
No.
Thanks for the call, Marcus. Let me ask you a question.
Pass.
Obviously – you're not going to replace either one of these guys I'm about to mention to their level, but who do you think would be easy to replace, Logan Mankins or Vince Wilfork?
Mankins.
Probably Mankins.
I don't
know. But it's close.
So why
to me, it's
close,
the same.
Yeah. I know Wilfork's the one coming off the injury, but why is it all about Wilfork being restructured and
Because he's in the last year and has a massive salary.
How many more years
does
Mankins have?
I believe.
Oh,
three.
Does he? Okay. All right.
Now, I think it's you can make an argument either way. Can you get a guard or a nose tackle or a run-stuffing defensive tackle?
Yeah, I think it's same.
I kind of agree. Yeah. Now, I'm going to lead.
That's why I wouldn't assign either, maybe.
Can you hook a brother up on your way back in, by the way?
Is cutting Mankins out of the question?
I would think so.
You're going to have a massive acceleration. Massive.
Oh, would you?
Yeah. There's okay. 3 years he signed left at a $20 million bonus or something.
I mean, is that what it was?
I'm just throwing numbers out there, but
you got a pretty big bonus.
You have 3 years of a large amount of bonus money spread out that would immediately be accelerated, and you don't have a guard.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, I don't worry so much about the second part of that.
Because you can always get a guard.
That's kind of my point.
But you chose to pay him.
Get a defensive tackle too.
You wrote the contract.
Like you said, you're not going to replace Will Fork with someone of Will Fork's caliber. Well, just because I think you can always get a guard, you're not going to get a guard of Mankins' caliber.
No, but how much of a drop-off would you be between replacing each one?
Same.
You think so? Yeah. Okay. Just throwing it out there. Jason,
why are you trying to run Mankins?
I think they're both very good at what they do.
Just trying to run Pro Bowl talent. You Brady and Mankins.
Oh, for God's sake!
I mean, God forbid you're a Pro Bowl caliber offensive player on this team.
Someone once who is as much in the pocket of the team as can be, about a half hour ago said, you don't have to worry about kicking extra points in playoff games. I'm being too harsh on our Tommy.
Jason's in Holden, Mass. Hey, Jason.
How's it going? I don't want to be rude, but, you called my name about 2 minutes ago, and those two nitwits keep talking over you. So
did he really?
Oh,
I know.
Like the Fred.
Man, are you lucky that I'm not in control of the phone bank right now.
You should be Holden. It's your name.
Ha! All right. Listen.
What are you holding?
Whether you get rid of Mankins or Will Fork, you could always plug in a guy like Gomer Bowen in there. He could probably be suitable.
He made a Gomer Bowen joke.
I did.
We just want to reiterate that this show is dedicated to Gomer Bowen.
Right.
It is. What we should do is dedicate this show to Gomer Bowen's foreskin and really appreciate what he's done.
Nice job, Chris.
Jason from Holden's that guy.
Yeah, good job.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you get a rookie producer on the phones.
Nice job, Chris. Just potty mouth on the air.
How much of a bad person does it have to be to make fun of a dead man?
I knew it was him.
The day after.
Well, not only that, but just stay on hold just to get a foreskin joke in.
About a dead guy.
You know, that's kind of weird.
That's terrible. I mean, the guy just died yesterday. What kind of an a-hole do you have to be?
I think it's funny.
What kind of a loser a-hole do you have to be?
It's funny, but kind of sad.
It's sad. It's very sad.
Like he's calling internet radio to tell foreskin jokes. We don't care.
I don't think
we're internet radio. We say worse on the air every single show.
I don't think what he said was funny. I think the fact that he does it is funny. Like he continues to call.
Right.
His sole purpose in life is to say foreskin
and
on our show.
Can he call back and tell me if he's the guy that used to call 1500 or 1510 or whatever that station?
You don't even know the station you're on.
1510. I don't know why I called it 1500. Because I would find it funny if there's two people making foreskin
1510.
Jokes. Well, he could be a copycat.
How embarrassing is that? Foreskin. You're copying. It's a low-level sports radio station.
Right.
You're copying and going
McLean's
on the internet.
There.
Right. I mean, that's embarrassing.
Yeah.
Let's see. Cameron.
Fred,
and Chris is laughing because he let it through. You're supposed to stop those things, you know.
Meanwhile, we could still be doing that game with the three guys, whether or not you want to cut one.
You really love that game,
didn't
you?
I did. I like those games. Especially that guy. He really put some thought into how we paired him up.
And foreskin isn't really, like, even offensive or...
No.
I mean, it's like vagina.
Right.
It's a term.
They're all laughing in there.
No, but I mean...
He said vagina.
Like, is it really that big a deal that you got us to say foreskin or you got foreskin on the air? Like...
No, but it's just, you know, a waste of our time. Cavern in West Palm Beach. Sorry,
Jason, I appreciate it.
It's been so long since I've emailed or called the show. Quick question. Now that we know Tlaib won't get the tag and we risk losing him, is having an elite corner more important to the development of our defense opposed to having an elite safety that can control the middle of the field?
Yes. I think the corner's
more important.
Hell yeah. Safety important, but corner more.
We're no longer using articles, but safety important. Corner more important.
Yeah.
Boonga boonga.
You are foreskin.
Absolutely.
You just absolutely.
But he was talking about the safe corner being
more
important.
No, he was talking about me calling
safety.
You foreskin.
Fred, what were you talking about?
I don't even know. I wasn't. Toby from New York says, first off, I'm sick and tired of the Dolphins and all of these other stupid franchises overpaying for players and ruining the market for everybody else. If Tlaib's price gets too high, the Patriots will probably have to let him go, but can we blame them? Secondly, I can't, yes. I can't understand why you guys love Ninkovich so much. I know he's a nice guy and can do a little of everything, but the problem is he does nothing particularly well.
He's Gerard Mayo? I mean, Rob Ninkovich?
I think he is best suited as a bench player who can spell guys at linebacker or defensive end. Am I wrong?
Yes. How can you be mad about Rob Ninkovich making his $3 million a year, but you got a $55 million middle linebacker who's just a guy?
I don't think
he was talking about Ninkovich's salary.
Right.
I kind of agree with his description of Ninkovich. I think he'd be best suited as the third guy in that rotation.
I do too. Mm-hmm.
But the problem is we don't have a second
guy.
Right.
If you bring in Jared Allen.
I also think over
the bigger problem might be we don't have the first guy.
I also think
the second
over the last 3 years, he's made as many plays for this team as anyone.
I know, but he's always on the field.
Okay.
It's not like he makes a lot of plays. He makes as
Dante
many as
Hightower
anybody on the field.
Has always been on the field for 2 years.
And he doesn't make as many.
I can count his plays.
Ninkovich
on...
makes more than Dante Hightower. I agree.
And I think he makes more than Gerard Mayo.
Does he make more than a guy who's good at that job?
Gerard Mayo.
For somebody else.
Gerard Mayo. I think he makes more plays over the last 3 years than Gerard Mayo.
That may be true. Does he make as many as guys that are good at that around the league?
I don't know. I thought Pro Bowlers and All Pros were good. I thought that
so
was...
now you think Ninkovich is an all-pro caliber player?
No, Mayo is, and that's who I'm comparing him
to. You think he's an all-pro caliber player?
I
but
don't.
I know what you think of the
I
guy.
Don't, but the all-pro voters do.
Understood. Do you think he's that?
No.
Do you think he's
but
one of
I don't
the better
think
ones
he's
in the
worth
league?
$50 million.
No,
I don't.
I understand that.
So
this guy's
just
not
wanna...
talking about the salary that Ninkovich makes.
No, my
he's
point is, why is he not trying to run...
That's why you like Ninkovich so much.
Because I think he's a solid, well-rounded, pretty good football
There's
player.
There's the answer.
But I don't know why he's criticizing the guy making one-fifth the salary, making more plays. If you're trying to run people out of town who shouldn't be on the field or overpaid or overvalued,
yeah, I don't
overliked,
think anybody's
Gerard
running anybody
Mayo
out of
is
town.
The king of that. I like Gerard Mayo just the same. I think he's a good guy. I think he's a pretty good, pretty well-rounded football player who is not an all-pro and shouldn't make $50 million. So why are we focusing on him?
Well, maybe in his next email he might.
Yeah. I doubt it, and because he's Bill's poster boy.
But
for,
I'll tackle that.
I love
one.
Him. Woo! Yeah, and I'm not buy a jersey.
I'm not
captain.
I think your lack of knowledge of what's going on in the field hurts your analysis of Gerard Mayo.
What the hell are you talking about?
He's better than you think he is.
Yeah, I don't think he is. Because I think he's good, not great.
I
think he's played to be great.
I
good.
Like him.
He's good.
I like him.
Of course
solid.
You like him. He's a patriot.
He's solid.
You'll rip him and say he never made a play the second he gets cut by this team.
If I didn't like him so much,
second.
I would be rooting for him to get cut tomorrow just to see what you would say on Thursday.
Wes Welker?
Yes, you ripped him while he was here.
While he was here.
Guy blew out his knee, putting his life on the line.
What do you have, four touchdowns?
Four touchdowns?
I'm
dismissive. You were more dismissive than loose change
I'm
Paul Perillo.
I'm the lone survivor of the Wes Welker fan club.
You were.
At least Paul's consistent. Paul ripped him when he was catching 100 balls and producing. You waited until he blew out his knee in an effort to carry your team as far as it could go.
Oh, you don't even know what you're talking about.
No, you don't know what I'm
talking
about.
You're a rambling dummy.
Can we get back to this? I like this conversation.
Yeah, that's good.
I guess not.
So dismissive of that. Yeah, that's good, Paul. I'm going to read an email.
I like the email. The email's point about Ninkovich. I don't disagree with Andy's take on Mayo, but I don't think he was talking about Mayo.
Right.
I think that
so
Ninkovich,
next to Ninkovich, we should have Hightower and Mayo next to Ninkovich on the bench.
I think what you're hearing is the emailer is right. For some reason, we all know what the reason is. We all love the guy.
No,
we have an affection for this player who's really, I think, better suited in a backup role.
But we have
he
an affection for Mayo, too. That's why I included that comparison. Oh, we don't?
But we're not talking about Mayo.
That's my point.
This emailer
if we're
going to
go down
Ninkovich.
The list of disappointing guys who don't make enough plays
the guy,
for playing
the guy
time,
might email in on Thursday
Kyle
and say
Arrington
Mayo.
And then
no, everybody talks about him.
You know,
that's a bad example.
Now that Gregory's gone, Kyle Arrington is back to public enemy number one.
And Paul Perillo enemy number two behind Brady.
Dan writes in on the extra point, while I
like Arrington, too. I like him a lot as a person. I enjoy talking to him. I think he's a really good guy.
Yeah, I don't like him as much as I like Ninkovich, but
no, Ninkovich is a cut above.
Dan writes in on the extra point, while I do
too.
Believe it, if it isn't broke, don't fix it. I could be in favor of removing the extra point in the name of speeding up the game and reducing injury. Though first, I would update the replay ritual.
You have to put the including injury in there because of Gronk.
Right. On Revis.
Yeah, it's true.
On Revis, if one of the rumors that you guys may or may not have started is true, Denver might also be in on the Revis thing. If the Pats don't retain Tlaib and the Broncos get Revis, then what the hell are we doing? We do not draft well in the secondary.
Can we take DRC?
I'm sick of this myth that we can't sign quality free agents because it prevents us from continuing to build this amazing depth we've had.
That we don't have.
It's not hard to build depth. We've seen the results of their great depth. If your secondary has a bunch of second and third stringers, congrats, you have depth. How good is your first team?
That's a great point. In a roundabout way, it's a great point. Like, Sean Mayer was great depth when you won a Super Bowl because there were good players around him. Really good players. You can skate by.
Besides so when
you
the don't fact have that when he was on the field, Jake Delhomme looked like Peyton Manning.
But when you don't have good players, then your depth is just more crap. That really has bothered me.
It's why you have to focus on the starting lineups first.
Right. We have great depth, except we have to have 7 undrafted rookies on the roster. And we have to claim a guy off the waiver wire to become our starter. And we have to claim a guy off the practice squad to become our starter. So where's this depth we speak of?
I missed this one.
Phil writes in, just wondering, Ryan Mallett and Danny Amendola to Texans for their number 33 pick.
Yep, I'd do it in a heartbeat. Yes, obviously.
I was distracted by boobs.
I would pull the trigger and pull something else when I'm done for the coup I just pulled.
What's the trade? Mallett and Amendola?
Mallett and Amendola for the Texans number 33.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, ridiculous.
So the top of the second round. Do you also, what players?
It's almost a first round pick.
Also, what players do you like in the draft that the Patriots can get? I like Austin Seferin Jenkins, the tight end, and Craig Loston, the strong safety.
I like Jenkins. He needs to drop the Seferin or Seferin or whatever. I'm intrigued by those two safeties I talked about, Dion and Dion, or however you say either or both. Intrigued by Kelvin Benjamin because of his red zone playmaker. Getting the nod of approval from Chris Ferreira back there. He can't keep porn off the air, but he can nod when I say something he likes about the draft.
Sam writes in from Pittsburgh, longtime listener. Since the he who will not be mentioned these days, I'm curious as to what you think of the addition of another defensive end would do to Ninkovich's role in the team. If we add a guy like Julius Peppers or Willie Young, because God forbid we spend money on a Michael Bennett, does that drastically limit Ninko's role on the team? Do you guys think the team is happy with Ninko's role in production?
Considering they gave him a contract extension in the middle of last year, I think they're happy with him. And I don't think it drastically limits his role. I think it alters it. I think you'll see him used in a variety of ways as a linebacker, mm-hmm. an end, a rusher, a this, a that, a those.
We talked about that on the last show.
But might he be better served not to have to play
every down? Yes, absolutely.
But I would argue the same thing about Chandler Jones. I think their lack of depth at that position is alarming.
Yeah. Well, they both played, as Mike Reese pointed out a few weeks ago, like more than 95% of the snaps. That can't happen again.
I think it's tough to do.
They were lucky.
I mean, at that position where you are
a lot of wear and tear,
nonstop,
you're playing the run and the pass every play.
It's like impossible. So I don't. His role would change. I still think he would be a big time part of the defense.
You know, it's not like they're those specialized pass rushers like a Dwight Freeney in the past where every play he's just charging upfield. So if they're running, he's not really taking a pounding all the time. Those guys, they're playing the edge, they're doing all that stuff. It's amazing that they were able to play as many plays as they did.
And it's not like they're Derek Burgessing it and, you know, doing the old brother-in-law on it every play. You can take some snaps off.
Greg is a captain in the US Army and also I think a doctor at the USF College of Medicine.
Thank you for your service.
He has some advice for Paul. If you're gonna keep sucking down Diet Pepsis, you should consider taking calcium.
Calcium.
Yeah.
Okay.
And also the question is,
he's not going to do it. You just lied to the man.
No,
you're not going to consider it.
I never heard anybody say anything about Diet Pepsi other than you should stop doing that because you're going to get cancer.
Was tight end Nicholas impressive at the combine?
I missed him. The Notre Dame kid. Everybody raved about him that he would be the perfect pairing with Gronk in an imperfect kind of way because he is Gronk. And he's a little bit later draft pick, mid-round draft pick behind the top two, three, four. So I missed him. I'm sorry. I apologize. I don't know how I missed him.
Okay.
Might have been getting lunch.
That's it.
it wasn't the day you did your run.
Might have been running.
No, he wasn't. That was defense.
Jonathan Wong writes in.
What's Wong?
Yeah, he literally did not miss one single player.
Oh yeah, I believe it on the first day of defense.
Yeah,
I believe it.
I had defensive line. He had linebackers. Mm-hmm. I literally had 30 different defensive linemen I had talked to, and not one linebacker had been called. Yep. He gets back.
They
brings
start
the
coming
lunch,
in.
And all of a sudden, it was all linebackers. It was great. I got to eat. He had to go run around.
Jonathan's a first-time writer from Hong Kong. He loves the show, following for about 2 years. Got a draft question. Do you guys think a big-hitting safety is a big need for the upcoming draft now that Gregory's released? In the AFC Championship game with Denver, I thought the Patriots were killed on short passes and yards after the catch, and that no one on defense seems to be explosive enough to catch up with the Broncos. Do you guys think an explosive, now we're adding explosive, hard-hitting safety like Calvin Pryor from Louisville would fit the Pats.
Yes.
Would he be available in the first round?
Yes. They're all available in the first round. It's the later rounds that they're no longer all available. I do think, and you made the joke, they're hard to find, Fred. A hard-hitting, explosive safety who can
cover.
Is athletic yeah. enough, but also can come up and lay somebody out. I feel like Pete Carroll, you know, there's only so many of those bodies on the earth. And, yes, I think they need one.
Yeah.
Yes, I think Pryor is a guy who'll be in consideration. Yes, I think Pryor is going to go in the first round, which means you may have to consider trading up if he's the guy that you target and don't like one of these other Buchanans or Baileys or guys that I like.
And no, I'm not sure he can do those things because we're not.
Right.
But
his Eon Bailey compared himself to Troy Polamalu.
His criticism of or his observation of the defense is dead on because it was really apparent.
I thought he was wrong.
When you watched the AFC Championship game, and then 2 weeks later, you watched the Super Bowl, and you saw the same plays and the result. It was unbelievable. You know, Demaryius Thomas, very early in that game against Seattle, catches a a little shallow cross, which is all they that they run, and boom, he just gets buried. I think that was the play he ended up separating his shoulder on, played the rest of the game like that. Patriots never did that once.
Right.
They never had one big hit after one of those catches the whole
game.
That's
why we need Cam Chancellor.
Well,
in all seriousness, I don't want to make any presumptions based on his name, but Wong from Hong Kong, is there a good chance that that's a native Hong Kongian? And that would be a rarity, I think, for the show. We have a lot of listeners globally that are transplants, and we have a lot of European listeners who are.
I love how Fred gives the glassy-eyed look around the room when you're talking.
No, but you don't think that would be interesting? I mean, he there's a potential that he is a born and bred Hong Kongian.
Mm.
Is that how you say it? I was waiting the first time for somebody to jump in and say what a person from Hong Kong was. Hong Kongite?
I don't know.
Never heard it. I've never heard anyone from Hong Kong
referred
to as. With
the name James, he's probably the son of somebody American who married somebody from Hong Kong.
I need more information from Jimmy Wong.
Okay.
Okay.
He could just also be giving you, like, James might not be his name. He might have just given you an Americanized name.
Could.
For these purposes, to fit in with the show.
That's true.
Because if he had a funny first and last name, we'd be all over.
Yeah. Like Don Wong.
Wait, Don? Oh, did you say Dong?
Don.
So why is Don funny
like
first
Don name? Juan, Don Wong.
I don't get why that's any funnier.
You laughed.
I know, but if you...
I thought it was funny.
Yeah, you laughed.
I laughed because I don't think Don is a funny first name.
Eldridge is in North Carolina. Hey,
Eldridge. Eldridge Wong would be funny.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Now, so. Eldridge Wong won't be right at all. I missed part of the show because, like I said, I didn't get to stream it. But I heard Christian a little bit saying something about a first round with Revis or getting rid of Vince. I'll keep Vince, but if we can get Revis and Dan sign to lead, hey, secondary problems is about solved, not like that last.
He's right.
I can't argue with that.
You are definitely right. If we invest $25 million in the cornerback position, we will be set.
This could be the first time in the history of this program I'm going to have to go on Fred's side with regard to the cap and say that there are limits to what you can do.
I know they're limits. But I also agree with Paul. Amendola did good. I would never give him $36 million. I'm sorry.
31. It just grew $5 million.
And a lot of people have been writing 28. What happened to that other three?
I don't know. That's
I know.
I would give him 15. I wouldn't have gave him over 15.
Right. I agree with you. It was a terrible contract that set the market for guys of his ilk. And now if you're Edelman, you say, hey, I want that.
I don't know how Edelman could possibly sign with this team for less than that.
I'm less injury prone. I'm coming off a full season, which I had more production than he's ever had.
Exactly.
Give me my $30 million.
That's going to be hard for Bill and them to swallow, even try to do something about.
Well, they won't do it. They just flat out, there's no way they're paying him $30 million. Won't happen. Move on.
I know they wouldn't, but I wish they could get some of their money back from Amendola. And I got one wish that came through, but it's 2 years later. Let's get rid of Gregory. I wish they got rid of Arrington, let him stay gone, because that's been another $15 million, that was towards the cap for this year. And if they could move up and get the safety or Denard or Dennard, whatever his name is.
Denard.
I'm happy. And
I do
like Benjamin, but Mike Smith is intriguing too. But I know good and well we ain't going to get neither one of those, so we'll probably get a Jag like we got the last couple years.
I think there's a chance for Benjamin. I think Benjamin is going to be a late first round pick. I think he is in the ballpark of if you want him, you could get him.
Thanks, Eldridge.
Pryor, I think you'd probably have to trade up for. Ha ha, Dix, you'd probably have to trade up for.
You can't say it without laughing.
I know.
Well, I think it's funny. If you drop the Clinton, it's ha ha, Dix.
Oh,
And Andy laughs.
Oh, speaking of presidential the cheating and all that stuff, I wasn't aware we were. Well, I mentioned Clinton, Monica Lewinsky. Did you see that there's a potential Marilyn Monroe JFK RFK sex tape, Menage a Trois, that's going on auction? Apparently
I guess it'll be more like a film.
Secret, yeah.
Film.
But it might have been converted to tape or DVD at this point. But apparently it's like a security guard or Secret Service guy who had it forever and out of respect for DiMaggio kept it, has never shown it to anybody, anything, but he got in trouble, bankruptcy, it's been confiscated by the government, and it's being auctioned off. I'm interested in that tape.
The government is auctioning off?
Supposedly.
I doubt it.
I don't know. It's available. Look it up on the internet. And strippers, if that hits the internet, I need to see it. I want that in my inbox immediately. Because that's it. I mean, Marilyn Monroe being tag-teamed by the Kennedy
Marilyn, a little to the left there.
Well, might not have audio, right? I'm that day and age.
Forthwith in here, 2-4.
Yeah. Ask not what.
You can do what I can do for you. Ask what you can do for me.
And I mean, do it now.
Is that not one of the best sex tapes you could ever have? I mean.
Well, it'd be worth a lot of money.
I mean, that's. Yeah. I mean, Marilyn Monroe considered like the bombshell blonde and the Kennedy family, a president, two guys who were assassinated. Like,
Bobby, it's my turn.
I didn't even know I was going to give him this material to work with.
Bobby.
Make sure Teddy doesn't walk in. I don't want him traumatized.
That's not bad.
Actually sounds more like Ted. Than
well, that's the Kennedy accent has morphed into the drunk Ted.
Right. Yeah, yeah. James in Brisbane. Hey, guys. Andy, I saw the marathon training photo on Twitter. How long did it take you to grow the goatee? It was ice goatee.
Yeah, a week in, a little over a week.
That was ice.
Yeah, I love
and
the
snot. I didn't send you the snot one. There was one that just massive snot I didn't know was there. It was just frozen under my nostril. It was disgusting.
I love the idea of making the extra.
He didn't send that one. He just described it to us instead.
I love the idea of making the extra points more interesting by pushing them back. How do you think that would have changed the Broncos game in week 12 this season with the high wins? The other suggestion I've heard that sound good are making it a compulsory drop kick from 30 yards out, or the rugby rule where you take the kick in line with where the touchdown is scored.
That's my most intriguing one. I find that funny. And I've heard like you wouldn't even have people on the field. You know, you're just the kicker. You know, you don't need to have.
So if you ran a play from your own 1 yard line, you'd have to attempt the extra point from there?
No. It's the angle of entrance.
If you ran in the corner, you'd have to
kick from the
kick
corner.
From that angle.
Oh. Which, like, adds. Not only is there, like, intrigue on, like, short passes, but think about it. If you have a kickoff return down the touchdown, down the sideline, you may be thinking about cutting it cross back into the. So you score in the middle of the field and your kicker can kick dead on instead of going down the side. I mean, there's a little on the fly player.
That sounds dangerous.
What sounds dangerous?
Like, players then thinking about when they're trying to go in to score, oh, I need to run more towards this way or that way.
Well, you weigh it. I mean, if you can't do it, well, now my kicker's got to make a tough kick. Mm-hmm. It reminds me of when, do you remember when Adam and Akers went to the Pro Bowl and they were doing the
kicking shots?
And they were doing the direct side where they were trying to, like, cut it through the uprights. And I mean, there's a little intrigue to that. It's a little interesting. A little gimmicky, too.
Like a golf shot, you know?
Oh, yeah.
My question, even though trades in the NFL don't happen that often, what trade value would you take at a minimum for Wilfork, Amendola, Ridley, Vereen, Hightower, and Dennard? I'm not saying all of these guys should be shopped, just that everyone has a price, and what would it be for them?
Individually or
individually,
collectively?
Not as a pack.
Wilfork?
Wilfork. What's the minimum you take for Wilfork?
I don't know if you'd get much for him.
Third round?
Oh, you wouldn't get that, I wouldn't think.
I would probably not.
Say late round pick.
Really?
At this age, coming off an injury?
Plus the team is acquiring the salary. I mean, I know they're going to change it, but they have to have that salary available.
And he has to agree to have it done.
Worth trading.
No, I wouldn't trade him.
How about Amendola? Minimum you take for him?
Same, pretty much. Fourth, fifth,
third,
round.
Fourth, wow. Yeah.
I would take low.
Ridley, same.
Ridley be a little
Ridley
more.
Maybe third.
Rookie Vereen. Contract. And
maybe third or higher? I would say third.
How about Vereen?
Probably third.
Vereen, maybe a second, but probably a
probably
third.
Probably a third.
Hightower.
Third.
Fourth, fifth.
Okay. Yeah,
not much.
Paul just has disgust. Dennard.
Maybe third.
Maybe third, fourth. Yeah. He's starting quarter.
Yeah. Fourth, probably.
Third, fourth.
Mike
Which means that's nowhere near the ballpark for any of them.
Well, we go through these trends in the NFL where it seems like an all-pro Hall of Famer goes for a fifth, and then some jag goes for a first, and you're like, well, where's the trade market?
Well, the guy's right that there haven't been a lot of trades, but it does seem like you get less than you think. As a general rule, when there are trades made for draft picks, the pick seems lower than you think it's going to be before.
Right.
If you would say that guy's available.
Unless it's Matt Cassel.
Well, that was lower than everybody thought.
He got a second rounder.
Everybody thought
he was going to get a one.
He was a starting franchise quarterback.
And by the way, you needed a linebacker thrown in to get the second.
Yeah.
It was Cassel and Vrabel for a second.
Michael writes in, would this work to trade up to 10? This year's one, next year's one, next year's two, Devin McCourty, Marcus Cannon, and Ryan Mallett, then move up and take Khalil Mack.
Khalil? Yeah, that sounds like a ton. You're giving up two ones, a two? A couple decent players, some jag players.
To get to 10.
From 29, it sounds, yeah, I would think it would be a heartbeat.
Don't you have your chart in front
No,
of you?
I do not have my chart in front of me.
Have you memorized
Plus,
it?
There were like three players involved, too. Where does that fit in the chart?
Yeah, I mean, and like a good player, but then there's a bad player. So, like, how does that balance out? Mack, by the way, reportedly, and I hadn't seen the update, ran a 4.45 today at his pro day at Buffalo, which is just lightning fast for a man of his position and his size. You know, he's the guy that...
And that's in Buffalo. Imagine what it could have been if it was somewhere good.
And, I mean, that's the guy you know, Fred. Do you know? Do I need to explain him to you?
Mack.
Khalil Mack, outside linebacker, Buffalo. Guy that
Some
Mayock
people
said
think that he could be the best
He would take number one overall, you know. And there's that question of competition. You're playing at Buffalo. I mean, you're playing teams like BC, the Mack. But he's a pretty intriguing talent.
UMass, you mean?
Who did I say?
BC.
Oh, yeah, I meant... UMass. Sorry.
Michelle, who loves it when I call her Shalata.
Thank you for your donation. Real quick, Fred, I need to, that gives me the, she made a nice donation this morning. Andrea Andrews made a nice donation. I very much appreciate that, as well as John Howard. Anyone else who'd like to contribute to the Andy Hart Patriots Charitable Foundation Marathon fundraising, you can go to at Jumbo Hart. It's on my timeline, the link. And you might also see some pictures of me frozen.
With snot.
No, I didn't put the snot picture up.
Restructure or not, if Revis ends up a Patriot, Fred will call me Gertrude or whatever else he likes or can call me.
You two have some freaky relationship.
I can't believe that there are people out there who still think Spikes will be part of the Patriots next year. Under what rock have you been living? Also find it extremely funny that as soon as a player is released, Patriots fan, not all but some, immediately want him to sign with the Patriots. Why on God's green earth would you sign Avant? Because he fits the budget? What about the cost of taking up a roster spot for someone who has more upside? 38 catches, 447 yards, 2 touchdowns in 16 games versus Dobson. 37 catches, 519 yards, 4 touchdowns in 12 games. I can't see Avant's production going up. It's indeed silly season. I'll be listening live while running on the treadmill. I'm not as tough as Frosty the Snowman.
Thank you again. It is interesting, and I do think Belichick is part of that. Like, when you have an offseason where they sign, who was the guy from Buffalo?
Donald Jones, Michael Jenkins.
Yeah, when you have a track record of signing those mid to lower tier guys, people start looking at those mid and lower tier guys and say, well, maybe he's a Patriot, right? So, I mean, Belichick takes
I mean, if you want to base it on that, then Avant is on the high end.
Right.
But we do have a tendency, and I'm sure that they do it everywhere. You know, as soon as guys get released, we get inundated, no matter who it is. You know,
right.
Should we pick him up?
But we do it on both ends. I mean, people wanted to get Jimmy Graham because he's tagged and he's available.
No, I'm saying that I'm sure that other teams do it too, you know, in other markets. As soon as a guy gets released, you immediately think, well, we should sign him. DeQuell Jackson gets released. I mean,
Steve Gregory.
A lot of people
should go get him.
They should get,
I mean, he started 2 years for the Patriots, 12-4 football team.
Breaking news from strippers. The seized Monroe threesome sex tape starring JFK and his brother Robert will not be auctioned after owner settles $200,000 court debt.
That is just wrong. I've been teased.
So, according to this headline, it does exist.
Well, yeah, but I don't know that anyone's ever seen it.
Yeah, I think it exists.
Well, I don't know either way.
That's why I said I think.
You'd have to see it. I think, supposedly, the only guy who's seen it is that guy who settled. I want to see it. I would pay a small sum to see it.
How small a sum?
You would pay to see that.
Probably.
I wouldn't.
$10 maybe.
I wouldn't either.
I wouldn't pay a penny.
To
I'd
see
look
Marilyn
at it.
Yeah, you Google it.
I would pay.
I would, yeah. I have intrigue.
Fred, how well hung do you think the president was?
Oh, I bet you they're tiny.
Because they're Irish?
Sure.
drunk?
Hey, I'm Irish. Yep. That's what we're saying. I would definitely pay like $10 to do it.
You would?
Yeah. I mean, I just think that's history and like, yeah, there's a lot there. I'm intrigued.
Reddit have like four screens.
What if you can't really see it? Like, what if it's bad video?
Well,
you
gotta, then I'd be mad.
But you gotta think it's terrible quality.
Mate, like Rushmore and Mount Me.
Oh my God. How long have you been working on that?
Well, since you brought it up, apparently.
Yeah, I don't think that would be a very good video. Or whatever. I
mean, well, I'm not expecting HD quality.
Yeah, but I don't even think you could probably see anything.
You can't see your nipples.
It's probably going to be like the Zapruder film, where it's all grainy and dark, and you can't.
Plus,
really...
do you think it's like dirty?
There had to be a second shooter.
Oh, Maryland. Was
well, there was.
But do you think it's like dirty, or do you think it's like?
I don't know.
I find it fascinating. This doesn't intrigue you.
What, you think they just did missionary the whole time?
That's what I'm thinking. Is it like just, you know, missionary? No, okay, well, your turn, Bob.
I've taken it.
Or like, is she taking it in two ends
I've
and
taken it
stuff
kind of
like
that? Fact that both brothers had their time with her.
But at the same time?
Well, but at the fact that they had it could at, the be same at the same time, is a little freaky.
No, but is it at the same time or is it just swapping?
Well, I don't know.
See, that's important.
Oh, like is one of them
do the high
the
five
top,
just to make
the other
it legit?
One the bottom?
Or yeah, some form of two holes being filled at once.
All right, do we have to get like that?
He's always got to take it a step further than you want to take it.
Your
bowling ball?
I would pay like 20. What's a bowling ball?
That's my three prong.
Wait, I don't get it.
All right. That's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress, the presidential edition. President's Day was
a couple. Yeah, it was last month.
Last month.
Presidential edition.
All right.
Let's not tag this one. I know we
speaking of tagging. Of, yeah.
we had a lot of talk about, you know, how to put better titles on things. We don't need to have this one tagged the presidential
edition. PFW breaks down the Kennedy brothers tagging Marilyn Monroe.
All right. We'll see you Thursday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.